Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Action Radio. This is Greg Penglis coming to you from the historic district of downtown Milton on the banks of the beautiful Blackwater River. And now let's get into Action Radio. And so for this morning's technical difficulties, I'm looking for Jean, and I sent her, normally what we do is we send what's called a direct connect invite, and so what I do is send her another one. No, it's already been done. Let me check with her right now, in fact. Let's see what's going on here. So I programmed the show a little bit late this morning. Jean, did you get your direct connect invite, or are you on the phone this morning?
Yeah, no, I'm on the phone right now, because when I direct connect on my computer, it usually takes me over a half hour because I have to log in. Then I don't hear anything, so I have to log out, log back in. I have to keep doing that until I can actually hear Action Radio. So, and I'm still in the process of logging in on my computer.
Oh, that's hysterical. As long as you got the invite. Yeah, well, I can do this. Just send it to you earlier. So we'll see if we can work on that. Yeah, a little technical difficulties here. We're still learning. And like I say, most producers and show people are right across the table from each other, but not in this case. And actually, that's becoming more and more common. I think Joe Pags says that, where his producer is like, several hundred miles away. And it's fascinating how all this works. Anyway, I'm going to play Gene's theme, and we'll see see if I can find. Where did it go? Oh, my goodness. Here we go. I got to start looking. I can make a look at index of where all my stuff is. So we'll be right back. When all is falling apart around you, when people are looking to you for answers you don't have, when you need a calm, reassuring voice to settle your fragile nerves, well, you've come to the right place. The always serene and tranquil, reasoned and measured, stable and sedate, Gene Vernig, producer of the Action Radio Citizen Legislature, takes a few minutes each week at this time to reflect on her favorite phrase, "Are you kidding me?" And now, Gene Vernig.
I crack myself up sometimes, and that's one of them. Good morning, Gene. Your turn.
Hi. Well, I gotta say, my life is in the toilet. or I had not the best of best days when you get on Facebook last night, and this is really sad, and I hate to, because I don't want to even put any more information out there about it, but I watched this video, and I have never laughed so hard in, I don't even know since when. And this is really, what the sad thing is. It was whether or not the stories are true of Biden pooped his pants when he met the Pope. And this guy, I can't believe you people are even thinking this. And on and on and on he went. And he was he kept bringing up references to BM and all that. And I was just like, one, I can't believe I'm listening to this, but two, it's I couldn't stop because for 5 minutes, I was just laughing so hard. Not because I'm laughing because Biden maybe did that, but I'm laughing about what this guy is saying. But,
Well, you have to share
even
this. You have to share this
that,
video.
The news. Yeah. Oh, God, I don't even know if I can find it anymore. But it was just funny, and I was like, maybe it was just the state I was in. I worked a long day, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. I just kept laughing and laughing. And I guess regardless if he did or not, the thing is, I haven't been watching a lot about what's going on over there, except the fact that he kept almost falling asleep and during whatever summit he was in. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is so Biden. But the bottom line is, I get very tired, too, at times. But I'm just like, man, you'd think there's something they would do.
No, that's hard.
Espresso when it's coffee or something, that's not so good. Or the couple times he closed his eyes, the camera just caught it, and boom, now they're exploiting that. But it's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, that was, very interesting. But, yeah, so who
no,
really
let's
knows
talk
if he
about
did
that
or
for
didn't?
A minute.
hold on a second. I want to get to where your life's, you know, kind of, because we all have bad days. But this is fascinating. I'll tell you what I think is going on here. First of all, Joe Biden's not an ordinary person in the White House. First of all, he wasn't elected, and most Americans know it. There's no sympathy for him for that. The Trump voters already hate him, and they hate the whole Democrat Party for stealing the election. Second thing is, for those that may have actually voted for him or didn't participate, they see that the country sucks right now. You know, everything is bad. Everything is more expensive. There's less of stuff, and it's more expensive. Gas prices suck, and all this. And everybody knows, for the most part, this is preventable. This has all happened just in the last little while. So what Trump did was show people that America can be great again. So the generations, like about 20 or 30 years of really awful, you know, people in the White House after Ronald Reagan tried to show America that, you know, lowered expectations, that, you know, you got to kind of get used to misery and shortages and, you know, we're not the greatest country in the world anymore. And it's all that globalist crap. So Trump comes along and says, that's a bunch of crap. We can have it all. We're free. Right. So now the government wants to steal the government back. Government steals the government for Biden. And the thing is, Biden has no sympathy at all. Now, if there was an elderly, let's say an elder statesman or stateswoman, and I'm sure accidents happen. You know, you get these 80 and 90 year old people. They're venerable. They're, you know, they're amazing resources. They're national treasures. But old is old, right? And so something happens. They're probably going to cover it up. The difference is with Biden that everybody hates him. I mean, I think there's a lot of Democrats who are really disgusted at what's going on, especially in terms of education, where the new minister of the interior security apparatus, you know, Merrick Garland, is sending out stormtroopers to, arrest parents for simply speaking up against government policy. And so this is a natural reaction. This is what I think the FU Biden thing is all about, which went to Let's Go Brandon. You know, and caused me to write two rather interesting Facebook posts yesterday, which got a pretty interesting reaction. The first one was, did Biden poop his pants at the Vatican before the Pope? Depends. That was the first one. And the second one is, yo, President Nobody, when we yell, let's go, Brandon, that's not exactly what we meant. And of course, he's getting a rather interesting reaction, too. But the point is, everybody's making fun of him. And they're making fun of him because he brought this on himself. He stole the White House. His policies suck. Nobody likes him right now. He's not worthy of the job. He would never have gotten it on his own. You know, and so people are reacting to that. And that's why, you know, the fact that he may or may not have, you know, pooped in front of the Pope is fair game. What do you think?
No, that's very true. Very true. And the sad thing is, I think a lot of it, you know, people our age have been around and saw what he said in the past, like when he ran other times and just how incompetent he's been. But the people that are younger and just listen to what the mainstream media says, they were sold a bill of goods and now look what you get. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, just he is, we are. The laughing stock of the world. And you could say, oh, that's not true. Yes, it is, because I listened to some, I don't know how I got them, but on Facebook, some Australian news reels, and
like
they talk
Sky
about
news.
Biden. It's just how, oh my God, it's so sad that they see things even, I mean, they see things so clear. And it's kind of like when you're involved in something, you don't see something as clear as you would someone just observing. And so it's like, yeah, that makes sense. It's always good to take a step back and look at things. But the sad thing is, in his case, I think he's just surrounded himself with like-minded people, and it's not in a positive way. I think his wife, Jill, is almost, oh gosh, worse than he is in that regard. Because I really think she's out for look at me influence. And it's like, oh, my gosh, and Kamala, oh, my God, I don't know if you saw Kamala talk yesterday at the governor's rally in Virginia, but I could only listen to it like for 40 seconds because, oh, my God, it's like, what is she saying? And not only what is she saying, but why are you saying this? You're supposed to get people, you know, motivated to vote and to vote Democrat and not like it's like and that seems to be her motive Apparente the last quite a few times. I mean, thank God I don't see her speak much because I think she's holed up in Biden's basement, but I think her own basement because nobody wants her. She's so inept that it's like she's not doing what she's supposed to. She was supposed to fix the border crisis. Well, they don't think it's a crisis. Whatever it is going on the border, she ain't doing nothing. And I guess that's probably what Biden wanted, a do nothing vice president. But it's like she goes to other countries, and wow, you talk about Biden not getting such a good reception. She gets a horrible reception. And so it's like, I guess she's doing what he intended. I don't know. It's just very interesting. But I don't say, people, please, when you do anything, look at what you're doing. Why are you doing it? Are you doing it for the good of others and yourself, or are you doing it just for the good of yourself to tout your own chest and thump your own chest and make yourself look good? Because you know what? That never lasts regardless. You always have to do things with a good heart. And I don't see that happening now. And then
Kamala Harris is the model of feminism, is the female icon, the model for Girl Scouts and young women everywhere to aspire to sleep your way to the top and be the party girl. And, rumor has it she's already redecorating the White House in her mind, in the Oval Office. So, yeah, she's she's like Joe
that
Biden.
That makes sense why she's not decorating her own vice president office, presidential office, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. No, the sad thing is, when I look at people like females that are role models, she's not one of them, not even close. I would probably put everybody I could think of. I would probably have her in the bottom 1% because what you do is you work hard to get to where you're going. I mean, what she did in California as Attorney General and put those black men in jail over marijuana charges, and now. Mm-hmm. She's like, doesn't want to prosecute and want anybody prosecuted for marijuana use or drug use or even if they shoplift or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? You put all these people in jail for lesser things and you touted that as, ooh, look at me. And now because she gets into this position, how she changes. Nobody else changed as far as what they're doing or not doing, but she changed her viewpoint totally. So it's like, even as when she was in Washington before, I mean, I don't even know how she got elected because and maybe she did because they thought she was pretty good. And then she gets there and her poll numbers, they didn't even want to vote for her as president. That says a lot.
Well, it seems to me, and I got Bianca in the line, so I'm going to bring him live in a second, that both Jill Biden and Kamala Harris have one thing in common, that they love the power, but they don't want the responsibility. So Jill Biden is riding on Joe's, coattails to get her position of power. She's not accountable. She even said there was a news conference a while back, and she says, you can't ask me about that. That's off limits. It's like, well, who the hell are you to say what's off limits? Nothing's off limits if you're running for office, especially if you're aspiring first lady, being able to influence normally the president, but not in this case, and same thing with Kamala Harris, all the power, none of the responsibility. She doesn't want to be held accountable for anything that she does. Anyway, we're coming in that, and then I'm going to make Bianchi's line live. He can join us in a second. Gene, what do you think?
So, no, that's very true. I was going to say they're both very ego-driven.
Okay. Interesting. Bianchi, welcome.
This is Gene's morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is really petty, but even if you look at clothes, and I've said this before, Jill Biden and what she wears half the time, it's like, are you kidding me? You're the president's wife. I'm like, oh my gosh. If you're just relaxing in the White House or just relaxing somewhere. But when you're going out in public for this big thing or whatever, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And
she looks too casual. What do you think?
I'm just
curious.
Like, are you kidding me?
What's she look like?
Pardon me?
What does she look like? She's too casual? What?
Well, she dresses like she's wants to be 18 or 19. To me, that's what it looks like. You know, it's like just – and it's like you're not. And she could look amazing. And Michelle Obama, I have to say one thing she did is she took I don't want to say, right, you know, clothes that almost anybody can afford. I mean, she had some over-the-top clothes, too. I mean, as far as expensive. But she got, went to stores, you know, other people, normal people go to, I'm going to say, most, you know, regular Americans. And she made things, you know, she did well with those. Michelle Bynum, I don't know where she's getting her clothes from, because a lot of them, it's just like, they are not flattering to her. And they could be. You know, she,
I think they
she
were donated for Michelle Obama.
Well, that could be too.
These were like
I don't know.
Multi-million-dollar designer clothes. Yeah. She can afford them now. Now that they're out of office, they have all their extra money. You know, after the mansion they bought. But this is interesting. Let's get Bianchi in the conversation. So this is we start Tuesdays, a few moments with Gene. So Bianchi, you guys chat.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I hear that the results of the Virginia election won't be out till Friday. Oh, how convenient.
Well, they have to recount the fraud votes. that's vote fraud right there. So the title of the show today, Who Wins Virginia? GOP Glenn Youngkin or Democrat vote fraud? So that's the question I'm going to be asking everybody, you know, as we go through the morning show. Who's going to win, Glenn Youngkin or vote fraud? And that's really what this comes down to. Gene, go ahead. You were going to say something.
I was going to say that they're going to wait till Friday because they're going to have to find more votes, you know, in people's trunks like they did with Al Franken here in Minnesota or somewhere. They're just going to find them, maybe under tables. Who knows?
See, this is where the GOP should announce the vote tonight. So here's the vote. Everything after this is vote fraud. That's what they should do if they were smart. I don't think they're that smart, though.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. They aren't that smart. It seems like they end on the corruption. And where is all this going to lead us to?
Well, speculate. What do you think?
It's going to be a bunch of mad people, a lot of mad people.
Gene?
I agree. This is something that should have been taken care of. They had how many months now to do it? Almost, well, a year. They had a year, and it shouldn't be that hard to solve.
Yeah. I got a couple of interesting.
Look at Arizona learned nothing. They're going to vote next year the same way they voted last year. They learned nothing.
Well, Arizona's interesting because the Attorney General in Arizona has announced that he's doing a full investigation. So he's actually taking the information and running with it. So there's still hope in Arizona.
But they're not
the
changing how they're voting. That's the thing.
What do you mean by changing how they're voting? Like the voting machines and things
with
like that?
With how they did last year, they're still using the same apparatus. They're still using the voting machines. They're still doing what they did. I haven't heard anything saying they're changing it. The last I heard last week was that, yep, the voting as it stands right now will be the same as they did last year.
Well,
that's why it needs to be separate ballots for federal and state and local candidates.
That they do.
Yeah, I'm still wrestling with that. I'm more concerned with things like vote fraud, mail-in, like in terms of mail-in, in terms of the voting boxes, and anything that breaks the chain of custody between the voter and the ballot box and the counter. There should be nothing that gets in the way of that. That's why voting should be on the day. Absentee ballots should be extremely difficult to get. I used to vote absentee all the time, but I'm not going to do it anymore because there's just too much vote fraud. There's vote fraud in our own county here, we found out. You know, in Republican Santa Rosa County, there's still it's so bad that, you really have to outvote the vote fraud, as we said before in 2018. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I've got three articles here, though, to take a look at the different aspects of this. So, Gina, I want to make sure that you've covered what you want on this, or do you have other things you want to bring up? We can always come back to this because it's one of the things I wanted to get to. We got time today. We got lots of it. Shelby can't make it.
Well,
and so it's just us until about 7:30 or if Josie calls on earlier. Yeah, go ahead.
I got just one other comment to make, and I thought this was just so sad. Yesterday, or we talked about the Biden wants to give the people, the kids with their families that were separated at the border, $450,000. Yesterday, I heard that when a serviceman dies, his family is only given $400,000. It's like right there that puts everything in perspective as far as what we already knew, but what top priority in Biden's life.
Oh, we got a story, Gateway Pundit, that illegal aliens are pushing Americans off airplanes. They're getting priority. So, you know, it's really bad what's going on.
Well, that happened in Afghanistan.
Well, this is happening here.
No, but I said it happened there, so it's not surprising that it's happening here.
Well, that was by design, to bring in as many Afghan Muslim, you know, goat herders with their five-year-old wives as possible. That was by design. Let me see if I can find this. This is caught on video. This is Gateway Pundit. Illegal aliens get priority over American citizens in boarding flights from Texas. So this is local. This is from yesterday. And so Gateway Pundit, I got a bunch of stories there, depending on what you want to get to. This is kind of a news thing.
That needs to stop, too.
Of course it needs to stop.
Of certain illegals in the states, and the governors of this state has no say-so over their borders. That's ridiculous.
That's not true.
United States, the federal government has jurisdiction over the national borders, but state borders, that's that governor, that state legislature.
Yeah. See, the problem is that the states don't know that they have control over their borders. They've never really acknowledged it. They've never really exercised it. 14th Amendment, we've been over this several times, that 14th Amendment gives the states as much power as the federal government when it comes to borders. It's just that the state border is opposed to the federal border. So let me get my pocket constitution here. Well, that's a different one. That's Convention of States. That's got its own problems. We'll talk about that someday again, too, because we're really out there pushing this constitutional convention. I'm like, you guys, you're setting up Constitution to be completely rewritten. Don't do it. But they head along with their beliefs. All right. So let's go 14th Amendment here. I want to go over this real quickly just so that everybody understands why it is such what's a different one? It's my regular Constitution. I got my Heritage one. Well, this one will work. Article 14. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which means U.S. citizens or naturalized, Americans, but even so, it's still citizens. Permanent residents are different. Anyway, so if you're born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction of, which means you're not born or naturalized somewhere else, are citizens of the United States, and here's the key, and of the state wherein they reside. Okay, so if you're a citizen of the state in which you reside, all of us have literally dual citizenship. We're citizens of the United States, and we're citizens of the state in which we reside. Well, that's incredibly powerful, and the problem is that the states don't recognize it. That's why we're doing a lot of things here in Florida. I've got some model legislation. I'm rearranging my desk here. That's what you hear in the background. That's my new Gingrich gavel. Anyway, so states have incredible power. That's why we're doing things like an illegal alien-free zone here in Santa Rosa County. This is why that I proposed a bill that if the Biden insurrection is going to award illegal aliens with $450,000, then the state of Florida should tax illegal aliens at $500,000. You know, take the money back. You know, the states don't have to let illegal aliens in. They don't, because they're not citizens of the United States, which means they have no rights here. They're certainly not states of the citizen they reside, because you got to be a citizen of the United States first, or either born or naturalized, or a permanent resident. If you're a permanent resident, you can come into Florida, but those folks are legal. But illegal people have no business here. The states can block them out just like they would block out any foreign invader. And the states don't do that, though. See,
it's
the lack of power. It's the lack of exercising of power, which is as bad as the over-exercising of power. They're exercising power they don't have, and they're not exercising power they do have. Pianki.
I got another question. And I'm very complex about this mysticism about young people, about children. Mm-hmm. And I read this story about this school board member in Florida that takes a class on a field trip to a gay bar.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Of course, if you're trying to depersonalize, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Don't the parents have to fill out a form and sign off on their child going on a field trip?
Well, it's probably
shouldn't
just a
not be revealed. What we going to the zoo? We going to the art museum? We're going to a gay bar.
They've always had to.
Yeah.
When I worked in the schools, and the sad thing is that the school board member went with, or a school board member, they said, went with as a chaperone.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what the permission slip said? I don't know if you guys have researched the story at all. But the permission slip might have said, your child will be engaged in a social experience. You don't know what it could be. I mean, how general was it? Did the parents actually know? I mean, they found out the kids went to a gay bar.
They should know. I mean, it should say exactly where they're going.
Mm-hmm. So, usually the teacher gets fired for something like that. I think we need to start looking at closing the school down. If a school permits a teacher to do that kind of stuff, then the principal needs to be fired. All the administrators need to be fired. The teachers need to be fired. They need to either hire a whole new staff. this will stop this kind of stuff right away. That this is being tolerated and teachers aren't reporting it. So the teachers that didn't report this, you know, to the news or to somebody or to the principal or to someone, the school board, well, you know, they should be fired too.
What it needs to get down to, like Youngkin said, is school choice. If parents want their children to experience that type of dramatics, then go ahead. But there's others who don't. So you separate those over there and you separate them over here. That's the what it's going to get down to. It should be. But the Democrats do not want that. They do not want parents to have autonomy and decision-making on their children. We know best, and this is the way it should be.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the teachers' unions were so short-sighted that they used the lockdowns as an excuse to close all the schools so they could give their teacher, you know, members of the teacher union a big holiday, and all the teaching would be done, you know, by internet. And, hey, great, you know, we'll make dues, they'll still get paid, you know, the teachers don't have to work, they'll love our union, we'll get more teachers because it's an easy job now. And what they didn't count on was that parents were actually watching the videos and watching what these schools were teaching, and they were horrified. So the best thing that ever came out of COVID was the fact that the parents actually learned where the kids were learning, and more fault for them for not knowing. You know, I mean, they should have known. They should have investigated. But the cure for government schools is to get rid of government schools, because you're never going to defeat this ideological Marxism that's now ingrained, and you're never going to defeat the teachers' unions until you remove the government schools, which will remove the teachers' unions, because private schools aren't going to tolerate this crap. They're not going to... You know, and they usually have a situation that's so favorable anyway. The teachers, I mean, you know, I don't see any move to ever unionize private school teachers because they're happy, you know, because they get to teach. They don't have all these stupid rules and regulations. So it's a very different situation. But, yeah, and what the teacher did to bring those kids to a gay bar, first of all, they're all underage, obviously. So that actually was a crime. I mean, you can go to contributing to the delinquency of a minor. You can go to, you know, breaking of the alcohol rules because you have to be 21 to go to a bar. I mean, there's several crimes that were committed here. This isn't just bad. This is criminal. So where's the arrest warrant? How come that teacher's not, you know, doing the perp walk? Handcuffs, you know, jacket over the face, that kind of stuff. And everybody who was associated with it. School board member, too. How come they're not, you know, facing arraignment before a judge this morning? I mean, they committed crimes. Pianki, Gene?
Well, they wanted to lock up people for going to church during the pandemic, quote unquote. The scare,
exactly.
The great scare.
Yeah, but this is the problem, though.
That is interesting, though. Why? Why? Yeah, but why? You know, because you can't tell me there's got to be some parents that are outraged about this. You know, if I want, I mean, I don't have children, but if I wanted my child to go to a gay bar or any bar, I'd be the one that takes them.
But you wouldn't have to because they can't go till they're 21. So it doesn't matter if you wanted to take them.
Oh, I went to a bar. I mean, my parents took me to bars when I was younger. I mean, not many. They didn't. My parents weren't drinkers, but, you know, we still sat there, had our.
Well, you could go to restaurants.
Non-alcoholic drink.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, the thing is, what I'm saying is, like, what they went there to go have a lunch? I mean, what was the reason for going to a bar? What was the educational reason for going to the bar?
Yeah, I'll let you guys figure it out here. So, Pianki and Gene,
you know,
what would be the reason? Go ahead.
Excuse me.
To acclimate them to the atmosphere and the sociology of the gay being gay. Now, I don't have anything against them, but I'm totally against the attacks of throwing these lifestyles onto children. Another point, too. McCarthy said that he's going to get rid of a lot of white teachers. There's too many white teachers that's teaching black kids, basically. Too many white teachers. 80% of the teachers are white. That has to be broken down where it's more diverse.
But the sad thing is, it shouldn't matter your skin color if you're a teacher. It should matter if you're a good teacher or not.
But
that
it does matter.
It does. I mean, to put their agenda, yes, because he wants critical race. That's why he told parents they have no business knowing or getting involved with their children's school and what their children are learning in school. That's why it should be a wake-up call for people in Virginia. Wow.
Well, it was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
This is the issue that turned the election.
They're looking for their future.
Right. Right. It's crazy.
well, this is the issue that's turned the election, is education. And, you'd rather be lucky than good or something, or well, I forget what the saying is. But anyway, if you look at what happened, I've got articles on this, but we're basically covering the articles right now. So I'd rather just talk about it. But Glenn Youngkin, Republican, in a liberal state that's, well, it became liberal because it's dominated by Democrats who work in the federal government. So the northern cities, northern counties of Virginia, Fairfax, Loudoun, you know, where all the Democrat hacks, you know, who work in D.C. Also vote, they're basically outvoting the average Virginian. Most of these people are Virginians. They're from all over the country. They're liberals who've come here to work in the federal government. So it's very artificial. You know, Virginia should have like a voting requirement, you know, like a 5-year residency requirement or something like that before you vote in state elections. That'd be interesting. But the problem is you've got a swayed vote, just like they're trying to bring illegal aliens in to sway the votes in different places and have them vote illegally. So you've got a strange voting bloc. But even Democrats have kids and they don't want to, you know, they may proclaim the policy for other people, but they don't want it for themselves because they're a bunch of hypocrites. And so here all of a sudden you've got Democrats saying, I don't want this kind of critical race nonsense, you know, broadcast to my kid, but it's okay for other people because that's the agenda of the party. So it's very interesting, a little twisted way that they do things. But ever since the American School Board, I've forgotten the exact title, came out and said, well, we think parents who are, you know, questioning what we're doing are domestic terrorists. And of course, the White House said, well, I guess they're domestic terrorists. And then they told the Attorney General, head of the Ministry of Internal Security, you know, Garland, well, you better make sure, better issue a memo declaring them domestic terrorists. This all happened in like, what, 3 days? You know, a coordinated effort. And Jim Jordan brought it out in the hearings. How did you do that so fast? Well, it's a coordinated effort. So now all of a sudden parents are like, well, wait a minute, we're not domestic terrorists. You know, even Democrat parents is like, because they're Democrat parents that don't like what's going on in the schools. You know, I'm talking about liberal, classic Democrats, good Democrats that I just disagree with, as opposed to Marxists that want to kill me. It's a very different group. So that's what's going on there. And so all of a sudden people woke up, and the combination of the school board problems, you know, where the parents weren't being heard, they're being arrested. Poor man had his daughter raped in a school, and he gets arrested. Everybody saw that in Virginia. They know what's going on. They're not stupid. They don't want to have their daughter raped by some, you know, horrible person, illegal alien, some boy wearing a dress in the girls' room. That's just not acceptable.
You know,
besides
and
crime,
it was,
but it turned on the voters. Are like, whoa, this isn't going to work. Yeah, go ahead, Jean.
I was just going to say, for people in Virginia, mm-hmm. you know, if you saw that video of what the police did to this poor godfather at that school board meeting, that right there should be another wake-up call for you, because all mm-hmm. he was there was defending his daughter, and basically he was told, or, you know, physically, you know, mm-hmm. got pulled out of there, plus also made to feel like what he was saying was not true. And how sad is that for his poor daughter? And not only that, to know that that same guy did something to another female, mm-hmm. which should not have happened and would not have happened if they would have did the right thing from the start, and they did not. And for that superintendent to still be there mm-hmm. is mind-boggling.
Well, they're aiding and abetting a crime. They covered up a crime. That is a crime. That is a conspiracy to aid and abet a crime. They could go to jail for that, and they should, but we're not arresting enough government officials. See, that's
exactly
the problem. If government officials start getting arrested for this and prosecuted like us regular folks, yeah, that would
yeah.
be a whole different thing. So they arrested the wrong person. So there's your issue right there. But
exactly.
All these things are preventable. Like I say, if things like that happen in a school, so what it really goes back to is Obama, because he's the one that originated this whole, you know, gender neutral policy that boys can be girls and girls can be boys and everybody can go to everybody else's restroom. And what happens is you get a boy wearing a dress who rapes a girl. Okay. This is what happens with this kind of nonsense. But what this really comes down to is the Marxist depersonalization. You're not an individual. You're part of a group. You know, and which group are you in? And you might be part of many groups. You know, you only think you're heterosexual. You probably are homosexual. You just don't know it yet. So you better try to find out. You know, that's why they have drag queen story time. And the younger they can get kids, it's the normalization of the abnormal. Okay? I don't have a problem with gay people. I don't. You know, I lived in San Francisco for 30 years. If I had a problem, I wouldn't be there. Okay? But the thing is, the agenda is the problem. The agenda. In fact, there's a whole lot of folks, you know, gay friends of mine in San Francisco. We talked about things like this, and it was very clear they don't want a radical gay agenda put on little kids in school. That's insane. These people don't have kids. You know, they still recognize it, you know, very clearly. So there's a lot of gay folks that don't like the gay agenda, which is really interesting. And that's not something that's not really talked about a lot. There's a lot that do, but there's a lot that don't. Yeah, go ahead, Bianchi.
That goes back to the fifth gay conference that was occurring back in 2000 in Massachusetts. But let's travel up to the other end of the country, the Utah,
okay.
where they talk about implementing a digital driver's license that have all sorts of information on it, like your social score, Greg. What is your social score? Are you friendly? Are you open to these new lines of thought, these new agendas?
Well, I'm surprised
you
said this. I don't know much about it. Tell me the story, because I saw your post on this, but I'm very curious, because this is right out of China. This is China thought police. This is China, you know, manipulation. This is China rewarding good behavior, punishing bad behavior. This is right out of Orwell, thinking correctly or not thinking correctly. That's what this is all about. So let me know. So tell me the technology. Tell me the story behind this. I'm very curious.
Well, you just explained it, really. All of that that you said, and maybe just a little bit more.
Okay.
All the information about you on how you are complying to whatever comes down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Your discussions, where you travel, have you been vaccinated? Are you willing? All that's going to be contained on the information on their driver's license. It's going to determine whether you get in schools, apartment, so on, so on, so on.
So when did we become a privileged society based on government privileges? I mean, this is what this really comes to. And where in Utah is this coming from? Utah is one of the more patriotic, one of the more, you know, resistant to government. I mean, Utah is formed by Mormons. Mormons left the East Coast because they couldn't stand the religion. They wanted to practice their own religion. A little bit different, albeit, but still, they have the right to do that. And so Utah has always been a place that has been very independent. So I'm surprised that, you know, I would expect this coming out of, you know, Massachusetts, Connecticut, you know, New Jersey, New York, you know, Vermont, maybe places. Well, Vermont's kind of independent too, but I would expect this Delaware, you know, Maryland. I would not expect this coming out of Utah. So who's really behind it? Is there a Chinese grant involved, or what's behind the story? Something's missing from this.
The attacks are coming in from everywhere. It's very difficult to keep up with it with limited number of people that even have a concern about what's going on.
Gene, can you do a little, let's find out, see if you can find out who's behind the Utah driver's license, you know, social privilege scoring, you know, if it's a grant from China, it's a, or somehow connected with China, it wouldn't surprise me. Or which government entity is doing it. Yeah, is it a liberal part of the government that's doing this? You know, is it the Driver's License Bureau? And what are the privileges? Let's get some more information on this. Thanks, Gene. The best. So we can definitely talk more about that. But that's you don't want that starting here. You know, it's like all the worst of China, all the worst of totalitarianism is being brought here in different places because, you know, it's like a ratchet system. The more that's tolerated, the more that people try to force on us. But the country's rebelling. In fact, there's an article in Natural News about how they say the tide has turned and people are starting to rebel. Well, I think the tide turned a month ago. I think it's been going for a while now. But people are resisting, and they're resisting more and more. This is so important, what's happening in Virginia. You know, it would be a shame, it would be a tragedy to lose that vote to vote fraud, because I really believe that people are fed up and they're disgusted. And if they lose it to vote fraud, people they're still going to be fed up and disgusted, but they're going to be discouraged. They're like, there's no point. There's no point in voting. You're not going to get a correct result anymore because of the geldings who tolerate it and the Democrats who do it. That's what I think the problem is. This is why this is so critical today. The Republicans have to announce a victory tonight. You know, once the real votes are counted, and anything that comes in afterwards should be, that's vote fraud. And if they stand their ground on that, you know, they might have a much better chance of getting Youngkin in, because the problem is not the vote today. The problem is the vote tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's the problem. Once they see how many votes they need and where they need them. Make sense? Well, Pianchi, it's just you and me. Gene's looking up stuff. Well, let me give you some information here that I found. I got a couple of articles on this. I do believe this is absolutely critical. And again, we got till about 7:30, so we have almost the next hour. Shelby's on assignment today, And so we'll get her back hopefully next week with Cruise and Travel. So this is from the Palmieri Report, which I'm not familiar with. This is kind of new for me. It says pro-Trump news. They put their own categories. This is a good one. One of the hardest things to find is decent news. Because I looked about – I was trying to research this morning the observations, the poll watchers, you know, that the Glenn Youngkin and everybody else is encouraging. The Republican Party, I read one thing, they have like 2-to-1 poll watchers for Republicans over Democrats. Well, Democrats don't have to watch the polls. They you know, as far as they're concerned, they make the vote anyway. So it doesn't matter. But all the articles I read, like the first 50 of them, were all pro-Democrat. You know, anti-Trump. Trump's perpetuating the lie that he won the election. They always start off that way. There's no evidence of vote fraud yet. The GOP are sending out, you know, all these people to watch the polls. Well, there's no evidence of vote fraud, you know, then why do we keep doing this? Because there's mountains of evidence of vote fraud. So they always start off with the disclaimers that aren't true. So they start that with the premise that's a lie and then proceed to report from there. Anyway, so here's the article in Palmieri News from yesterday. Flood the system. Get out and vote. Trump released a statement on Virginia election, which is kind of cool. Actually, Marjorie Taylor Greene released a statement too. She's warning about the Virginia governor's race. Anyway, she says, the article says, Trump, this is by Jacob Palmieri. That's why it's the Palmieri Report. Oh, there we go, Greg. Trump has released a statement on the Virginia election. Trump says he does not trust the integrity of the election in Virginia. Yeah. No, you know what? We don't either. He said the only way to beat it is by flooding the system and going to vote. This is a reminder, the more legal votes that are cast, the harder it is for the Democrats to steal the election. Yeah, that's why I've said since 2018, you've got to outvote the vote fraud. It's the only way to do it. So Republicans, don't get discouraged. It's even more important that you vote now, even though there's still a chance that a certain amount of fraud is going to be there. But if you can outvote the vote fraud, that would be interesting. But what we really need is the geldings to start doing something. Liz Harrington Save America says the fake news media, together with some of the perverts doing ads ad nauseum on primarily Fox, she doesn't like Fox. She says Fox shouldn't take those ads. She says, are trying to create an impression that Glenn Youngkin and I are at odds and don't like each other. Importantly, this is not true. Let me just statement of Donald Trump. This is kind of cool. Then we'll get back to not to go over to Twitter. By the way, I post my show on Twitter every day. I'm not sure. I guess I'm not big enough to be canceled yet, but we'll get there. Statement of Donald J. Trump. The fake news media, together with some of the perverts doing ads in the mainstream – oh, it was Trump who said that – doing ads ad nauseum are primarily Fox should take those ads, are trying to create an impression that Glenn Youngkin and I – oh, it's not Liz Harrington. Oh, I made a mistake. Correction time here. I goofed. It's like they're trying to say that Glenn Youngkin and Trump are not simpatico in agreement. It says, importantly, this is Trump talking, importantly, that is not true. We get along very well together and strongly believe in many of the same policies, especially when it comes to the important subject of education. The reason the fake news and perverts, I just love the way he boldly says it, right? The fake news and perverts are working overtime is to try and convince people that we do not like each other. And therefore, my great and unprecedented Make America Great Again base will not show up to vote. Also, I am not a believer in the integrity of Virginia's elections. Lots of bad things went on and are going on. The way you beat it is to flood the system and get out the vote. Remember this. Glenn Youngkin is a good man, a hardworking man, a successful man. He loves Virginia and wants to cut your taxes, save your children's education, and many other very good things. Terry McAuliffe is a low-life politician who lies, cheats, and steals. He was a terrible high-tax governor and would be, if elected, an even worse governor again. I say to all of our millions of followers, don't listen to the fake news and misleading advertisements written largely by already acknowledged perverts. He's like four times. Get out the vote. Get out and vote for the man who will be a great governor, Glenn Youngkin. Well, that's pretty direct. Think of that. I know you're out there. What, am I on mute? I don't think so. Well, you know, I'm alive.
No, we hear you. Keep on going.
Oh, yeah. That was it. That's it for that article. That's got a bunch of tweets and other things. But, yeah, that's it for that one. Isn't that fascinating?
You know, it's interesting. Well, I'm not seeing anything about the Utah driver's license having the social information on there.
So is this a fake story?
No, I'm sure it's not. But,
Cassie,
I mean, I'm even looking in DuckDuckGo, and it's not on there.
Huh. Pianki, what's the source on that article? Let's see if we can find it again. Because I haven't heard of any other sources. That's why I didn't report it yet. I usually wait till about 3 or 4 sources come out and start talking about it. Because you never know what people are just making up stuff.
It's on Quick Kick. I'm sorry, Outkick.
Who?
The story is about Joe Kinsey.
Is this even a real story?
And also, it determines whether if you get a seat on an airplane, your social score.
Interesting.
Now, what's the source? I'm now getting really skeptical. What's the source? What's the name of the news place? What's the website?
Fox 13, Salt Lake City ran this story in March.
Fox News. Okay, in March? Well, I'll tell you what. If that were genuine, you would have had a whole lot more coverage between March and today. I'm skeptical. I tend to doubt it. Because, first of all, it doesn't sound like Utah.
It says here, the American Civil Liberties, ACLU, says state legislature and motor vehicle departments, as you're seeing in Utah, in the process of making digital driver's licenses a major priority, where these licenses would be stored in smartphones and used in place of plastic identity cards you've been using for years.
I wouldn't be put past that, you know, because it doesn't, I could see him going to that. It makes sense.
But not for Utah. This makes
not
sense
for
a liberal state.
Not for Utah,
this makes sense
but,
for Minnesota or Michigan or Illinois. This does not make sense for Utah. This is why I'm so skeptical of it. There's something wrong here. There's something wrong with this story. I don't know what it is yet. But, you know, the bloodhound nose is sniffing around and it doesn't smell good. Something
they're
wrong
on your
here.
Facebook page. It's on the Action Network page. I put it there yesterday.
Okay, no, that's fine. I mean, I'll take a look at it. I'm just being very skeptical right now. I think something's wrong. It's like, you know, usually when there's a plan, it's like when they planted the story, when they tried to stage they tried to dress up a bunch of Democrats as, you know, what they envision white supremacists to look like, and they look like Democrats dressing up as white supremacists. You know, and they were caught. And the Glenn Youngkin campaign said, "What the hell are you people doing? This isn't us. This is you guys. This is a fake operation." It's like, you know, Juicy Smollett, you know, when he tried to stage a fake hate crime. So this is normal stuff. Anyway, let me get to some of this article here. This is kind of cool, and then I'll play some things for you guys. All right, Gene,
yeah,
go ahead.
Then I want to talk about other news as well.
Okay. Well, I'll do this one story, and then we can maybe I should play some, and then we'll talk about other news. Like I say, we got some extra time this morning. All right, so here's one. This is kind of cool. This is yesterday, duking it out in Virginia. Jeff Minnick, and this is an intellectual take at one of my favorite news sources now. It says, Virginia has a long history as a battleground. In 1781, British General Cornwallis surrendered to the combined force of the French and American troops at Yorktown, Virginia, effectively bringing an end to the Revolutionary War. Well, we call that the War for Independence, but, you know, that's just minor. During the Civil War, Union and Confederate forces fought each other over the state. You can hardly drive anywhere from Arlington to Richmond to the Shenandoah Valley without bumping into some historic site from that war. Today, a different sort of war is being waged in the Commonwealth, this time over the state's governorship, between Democrat Terry McAuliffe, the vote fraudder, that's me, and Republican Glenn Youngkin. The November 2nd election, that's today, will not only determine the political direction Virginia will take in the future, but may also serve as a litmus test for what Americans think of, you know, insurrectionist Joe Biden's, you know, coup. Obviously, those are my words. I think the litmus test has already been passed. I think the stadium test, you know, the let's go Brandon test, Biden's already failed it. I think the rally test, he's failed that one too. I think the gasoline price test, you know, the honesty test, you know, think of any test you can think of, he's already failed it. And so the idea that this is the only litmus test is insane. Now, this is the result of the failure. What's going to happen, I think, today in Virginia. Again, as long as we can outvote the vote fraud. Article says, like several other states, Virginia is politically divided across its geography. Northern Virginia, which boasts some of the wealthiest counties in the United States, we just talked about that, because of their proximity to Washington, D.C., has many non-native residents and votes heavily Democrat. Once you leave that area and head either west or south into the Old Dominion's farmlands and small towns, you are in Republican territory. I don't like red and blue because they've been reversed, unfortunately. It says, in my town of Front Royal, for example, Youngkin signs outnumber those of McAuliffe about 10 to 1. All right, whoop, let me take a quick break for a second here. Gina or Priyanki, I'll be right back.
Whoops. All right. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. But I hope we make it past the voter fraud, and people's one vote is what matters and what gets whoever wins elected.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Anyway, I'm back. Yeah, my voice is better today, obviously, but it's not quite 100% yet. All right, so let me see. I read that. Like so many of the voters in Northern Virginia, McAuliffe, yeah, even the aspiring governor himself, is not a native Virginian. No, you know what, but was born and raised in New York. He served as governor of the Commonwealth from 2014 to 2018. Virginia law forbids consecutive terms for that position, where he pursued a progressive agenda granting felons the right to vote, for example, and vetoing a bill that would have prevented sanctuary cities in the state. See, people forget, this guy was a terrible governor. Remember when
he
gun
was.
Bills were going through and vote fraud bills he was vetoing? Yeah, he was a terrible governor of Virginia. Well, you were in Virginia at that time, right?
No, I was after he was done.
Okay.
Or after he was gone, but yeah, I heard he was not a good governor.
Yeah. Do you think, here's a question for both of you, do you think states, just as the president has to be a natural-born citizen, and the jury's still out on Obama as far as that goes, should states require some kind of residency or birth within a state? See, California screws up. Because all the folks that represent California, from Barbara Boxer to Willie Brown to Dianne Feinstein, I think Kamala Harris was born there, but her parents were illegal, so that's a different question. But most of the politicians, Nancy Pelosi, yeah, she's from New York or East Coast also. Most of the people representing California were born somewhere else. And I'm wondering if you had only California-born people representing California, you'd have a completely different electorate. Now, you shouldn't be required... Well, what do you think? I mean,
I don't think they need to be born there. But if you look, Romney mm-hmm. in Utah, I mean, how could he? I don't understand that, because he was a governor of Massachusetts, and then boom, he goes to Utah. What did he do? Look at the map and say, where could I get elected? Let me move there. Or even Clinton going to New York after they got out of the White House, and she ran up in New York. Why did mm-hmm. I don't. And the thing is, with that, she ran and I don't even know how long they even lived there. So my thinking is, if you don't live there very long, how do you know that place's issues? What, you know, the nuts and bolts of what makes that area great? And I definitely don't think they need to be born where they're running, but they need mm-hmm. to at least spend some time there versus just move there and then because of political aspirations.
Well, they could have a residency requirement.
Yeah,
or just
looking on
a
source nigger.
Well, yeah, that's another
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Arnold, who wanted to be president, but was born in Austria. Yeah. Screw your freedom. Yeah, that's what he said. He said, screw your freedom. Well, screw you, Arnold. You're not going anywhere again. He was a terrible governor. You know, and the fact they called him a Republican was an embarrassment. I was there when he was there. Yeah, he sucked as a governor. But yeah, these people that just move in. Well, I think it's definitely a campaign issue. It should be. I haven't heard that in the Youngkin campaign. I mean, I would say, you know, McAuliffe, you know, the New York governor, you know, the New York resident who came to Virginia. But maybe that doesn't make a difference. Maybe that's a selling point. The Democrats who also are from somewhere else and living in Virginia, because it's a lot nicer than any other place around D.C. I don't know. Maryland around D.C. isn't the best place I've ever seen. Okay, so that's an interesting issue. Back to the article, it says, in his prison campaign, McAuliffe has supported late-term abortions, more gun control measures, and a green environmental program. Like anybody's going to vote for that willingly, except the D.C. suburbs. Among independents and Democrats, these positions may not raise many eyebrows, but his take on education delivered during a televised debate with Youngkin may well cost him the governorship. I see, this is where I think it all, I agree. I think this is where it really comes to it. He says, I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. Uh-oh.
Right.
Happened. Let me read that quote again. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the essence of the entire problem. Government is right. You are wrong. Sit down, shut up, and we'll just take care of it. That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I could go into more of this, but you get the idea. It's an interesting article, so I'm going to hold it here. I want to play the Sedition Act one for my Sedition Volunteers, and then we'll get back to what Gene wants to talk about. And again, we have Shelby's going to hopefully join us next week. She's gotten busy on assignment, but in the meantime, let me play this for you here, because it's interesting that when you think about what's going on today with the whole idea that parents are domestic terrorists for challenging the school boards teaching Marxism and you know, racist theory to their kids. This is very appropriate, that what they said back then about sedition and what they're saying right now about basically sedition. The parallels are incredible. This is why I like doing these reports from way back when. All right, here's the Sedition Act. Okay, I'll be right back in a minute. Well, actually a few minutes. Play this here. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, insights into our founding documents, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers here in Santa Rosa County, Florida. Santa Rosa Volunteers is available at their website, srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. This week, I want to break from the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers to consider one of the many aberrations in the early days of the land of the free. That is the Sedition Act of 1798. Granted, this is always grouped with the companion bills on aliens, but I see them as separate issues. Why would a new government formed from colonies under rules of sedition from a foreign monarch bring about that same tyranny into our government so early in its existence? The Constitution was ratified on September 17, 1787. The Bill of Rights was ratified on December 15, 1791. So it was already in the supreme law of the land that Congress could make no law that abridged the freedom of speech, thus making any subordinate law on sedition unconstitutional automatically. And yet, it happened. All power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, if you have a government of good laws and yet bad officials who crave the preservation of power more than the alleged guarantees of freedom, freedom takes second place. You can see that in evidence throughout the entire government response to a coronavirus that would have run its course naturally in about 10 weeks, just like the flu every year, and would have been gone by the summer of 2020 when all viruses fade until the winter. And yet, look at the massive amount of power taken from the people in a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Sedition is defined in my online dictionary as conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. So what did the government put into a law that so obviously came from the former ruler of the colonies into the new government of the United States? The Sedition Act is titled An Act for the Punishment of Certain Crimes Against the United States. In other words, conduct or speech that criticizes the government. Where have we heard that before? Section 1 of the Sedition Act reads, "Be it enacted by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America, in Congress assembled, that if any persons shall unlawfully combine or conspire together with intent to oppose any measure or measures of the government of the United States, which are or shall be directed by proper authority, or to impede the operation of any law of the United States, or to intimidate or prevent any person holding a place or office in or under the government of the United States from undertaking, performing, or executing his trust or duty, and if any person or persons with intent as aforesaid shall counsel, advise, or attempt to procure any insurrection, riot, unlawful assembly, or combination, whether such conspiracy, threatening, counsel, advice, or attempt shall have the proposed effect or not, he or they shall be deemed guilty of a high misdemeanor." This, of course, violates the entire First Amendment, except with regard to religion. It gets worse. Section 2 says in part, "And be it further enacted, that if any person shall write, print, utter, or publish, or shall cause or procure to be written, printed, uttered, or published, or shall knowingly and willingly assist or aid in writing, printing, uttering, or publishing any false, scandalous, and malicious writing or writings against the government of the United States, or either House of the Congress of the United States, or of the President of the United States, with intent to defame the said government, or either House of the said Congress, or the said President, or to bring them, or either of them, into contempt or disrepute, or to excite against them, or either or any of them, the hatred of the good people of the United States."
In other words, saying anything against the government of the United States or anyone in it is a crime punishable by jail and fines. This effectively creates political prisoners in the United States, much like the innocent people in the D.C. Gulag jail for being in the Capitol building January 6th. If that were not bad enough, within the Sedition Act is probably the most dangerous provision to individual liberty that I have yet seen in the founding documents, and provides a shocking precursor to the future neutralization of our jury system and the supremacy of the government courts over the people. Section 3. And be it further enacted and declared that if any person shall be prosecuted under this act for the writing or publishing any libel aforesaid, it shall be lawful for the defendant upon the trial of the cause to give an evidence in his defense, the truth of the matter contained in publication charged as a libel, and the jury who shall try the cause shall have a right to determine the law and the facts under the direction of the court, as in other cases. The key words here are under the direction of the court. The whole point of a jury is to not only determine the guilt of the defendant, the restitution in a civil case, but most important for the jury is to determine whether the laws implied are fair, just, constitutional, and are not arbitrary and capricious reservoirs of unlimited government power over the people. Jurors can do whatever they want because they are the representatives of the people over the judges who work for the government and therefore work for the people. And yet, as virtually every judge instructs their juries, that they can only judge the facts of the case and not the law. That lie is repeated every day in courts all across the country. And now I see where it came from. Section 3 is really saying that the juries, and therefore the people, are under the direction of the court. What the Sedition Act really does is makes criticism of the government a crime and allows government judges to direct the juries that would hear any case under this act, thus destroying the right of free speech and to redress grievances against the government and to due process and the right to a jury trial of one's peers. One could imagine anyone charged under this act would be guilty until proven innocent, and then ruined by government if they were proved innocent. Can you think of any parallels to the rights of free speech today? The Sedition Act was approved July 14, 1798, signed by John Adams, President of the United States. This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with Founding Moments, sponsored by Santa Rosa Volunteers. Their website is srv1776.com. That's srv1776.com. Please share this report to anyone who needs it.
Dangerously cool. And we are back. And so I think we're in the middle of a Democrat coup, Sedition Act type, Marxist government. And they basically, they're not saying Sedition Act because they don't have to pass it. They can just rule it by decree. And that's what Merrick Garland, the Minister of Internal Secret Police Security, is basically doing. Jack, if you want to react to that, fine. Feel free to come. Well, actually, I should make your line live. I have to do it. I keep forgetting. I got to do these things. Or Gene. But yeah, so Pianca, do you have a reaction to the Sedition Act? And then let's get on to Gene's stories.
Well, I have to admit, I have never gave that too much thought. But as you describe it, I can see where a lot of it can be applied today. There's a lot of sedition that's going on from every level of government.
Well, sedition is just criticism of the government. But is it sedition to criticize an illegal government? There's a question for it. I would say no. Even though
you got to convince people that it is illegal. You know, I think one of the biggest problems is that you have so much ignorance, lack of knowing that's going on, Craig. I really do.
Yeah, I could change the whole country, but we're not there yet. So you had some, got about a little over almost half an hour before Josie gets here and we get on with the Latino Report. So what's on your mind?
I wanted to say, you talk about the election and we should learn from the past. Okay, have you been following American Airlines? And now what has it been? 2,300? How many flights have been canceled? Over 2,000? And they say it has to do with weather. Weather again?
Yeah.
However, according to an international they said that something international tactics or something, they said the reason was because of pilots and flight attendants availability. And when did the COVID vaccine mandates come into effect? I was told it was November
1st. We got Southwest, we've got American, I think United to a more extent. What's going on, specifically, what's happening in America? I'd be curious. They say and when did the
you're cutting in and out. It's hard to get what you're saying.
Oh, really? Well, that's strange.
Yeah. At least it did on my end. I couldn't hear. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know. There's not a whole lot that I found online about that, but it's interesting that, once again, why is it just one airline company that's having the issues with weather again, because the other airlines did not have to cancel flights. At least I did not hear of any because of airline or because of weather.
Becky, do you hear me cutting out at all, or is it Gene's computer?
Yeah, you cutting out, Greg. But Gene, you wonder how often will they use this excuse? Suppose there's, and hopefully not, there's an airline mishap that resulted in a loss of lives. Will the same excuse be used?
Yeah, exactly. You got to wonder.
I'm trying to figure out where I'm cutting out here. How does it sound now? I'm sort of backing off the mic a little bit.
It's good, yeah.
All right, yeah. Let me turn down my mic.
Also about LAX, the airport, supposedly lost power yesterday. I don't know if that was true or not. You know, there's so many conspiracy theories going on now, and they're saying that November is going to be very interesting. But then they said August was supposed to be very interesting. And so who knows? I don't put a lot of faith in a lot of that stuff. But I do know people pay attention because OSHA supposedly is gearing up to start mandatorying companies over 100 employees or more, and what they're going to do about the vaccine and mandate, which I don't see how OSHA I know how they could be because you have a corrupt administration, but how they are being pushed to enforce this. One, we still have illegals going across the border and nobody is having them get any jab. In fact, ivermectin, here we come. And as far as I know, the White House is still not mandated to have the vaccine, or Congress and Senate, and there's sure a lot more than 100 people that work there. So why are they doing it to mainstream America?
Did we ever find out if the border folks are giving ivermectin to the illegal aliens coming into the country? I know someone was talking about that. Josie might know.
Yeah, I haven't heard definitively, but I have read that. And that would make sense because they want to, you know, even if you got it, but how can you say, oh, Florida's doing a horrible job with COVID. Look at the numbers are rising, whatever they're saying today. I think they can't say that because Florida's actually doing excellent. But it's like,
yeah,
it's don't tell me to get the jab when you're letting illegals come across, when you're not making your own people get it. Once the government gets it, and we actually see they get it and not a fake one, then we'll talk again.
Well, I'm still not going to do it because it's dangerous, you know. And the funny thing is, it's already obsolete. So we say it almost. I think I say this almost every show. It's the alpha variant, the very first one, died out last year sometime, you know, probably July, August, you know, last summer. So it's already been gone for over a year. So they're mandating a vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, for a strain of the virus that doesn't exist, you know, and they're way late because vaccines, you're going to build up immunity to something that's already gone. That's irrational. And yet that's what they're doing. And no one seems to be challenging it on those grounds. You know, look at all the folks that are leaving. Now, maybe the, I don't know if the police and fire and the airline pilots know how this actually works, but it should be common knowledge. And we should, you know, wish they listened to our show. We could tell them that the alpha variant, all these things, see the Pfizer, and I had an article on Pfizer here I started last week. Pfizer dominates. They've won the vaccine wars because they pay more money. They twist more arms. They do better marketing. And they force more governments around the world to use their product over, you know, AstraZeneca, which is in Europe. You don't hear about much about Johnson & Johnson and Moderna because they lost. They didn't bribe as well as Pfizer did to get their vaccine out there. This is why all this stuff has been – this is why Pfizer got approved and Moderna didn't. This is all money. It's always been money. You know, so the health bureaucrats have become basically big pharma's marketing department. You know, it's like, how much are you going to pay me to put your product out there? It's extortion. You know, and that's on many levels. But the vaccine's obsolete because the virus left, the one that they vaccinated. And they made so many millions upon millions of doses of this crap that they have to try and push it out there. They're not even making the one that's approved. They won't even make it for another year or two. And again, it's still for the viral strain that died out last year. There's no reason for any of this. Pianki? Let me sit in there. All right. I'll let you comment when you want to. Let me continue on here. This is something that has been bothering me. Gene, did you have a comment?
No. Well, that's true. But the thing is, it's still happening. I mean, they're still pushing the mandates and everything. And just like the military, they're making them get the jab on the vaccines that are currently out there that aren't the approved ones. And they're being told they have to. That's wrong. At least wait till the ones that are approved get out there. But no, it's just sad.
But they'll still be for an obsolete variant. Even if they approve.
Well, from an obsolete variant, right.
So what's the point of that? Go ahead, Pianki.
Well, you know, when OSHA comes on a job site to do an inspection, they have to get permission. They just can't walk around by themselves. So that means that you got to take employees that have to accompany them. And somebody's got to pay for the employees for not being productive, but hanging out with OSHA. So this all doesn't really make any sense. How are you going to go in and on a job site and ask if employees are vaccinated?
Well,
they
don't
have this passport deal.
Well, they don't have jurisdiction to do that. It's not OSHA's authorizing legislation to do medical stuff.
But people are being asked to show their vaccine papers, and if not, they're getting put on unpaid leave or fired.
Well, unpaid leave, so they don't have to pay them unemployment. But there are places that the governor of Florida wants that in the next law, and I think there's one place, I forget what state it is, the governor already said that, yeah, it's going to be covered. If you get rid of somebody because they don't take an obsolete vaccine, then, you know, we're going to pay them unemployment. And that comes out of the employer's pocketbook. You know, so that's a different thing.
Yeah, and on a commercial construction site, everybody's in the outdoors. They're in the outdoors, Greg.
Oh, right. I understand. Yeah. Gene, can you, I forgot what I asked you to look up a minute ago, but, ivermectin. Let's see if the illegal aliens are getting ivermectin. But I'd also be curious about, something I was going to ask you about OSHA.
And also, have you heard about, what is it, AY42 or something like that?
What's
supposedly
that?
A faster spreading sublineage of the coronavirus Delta variant. And they're already spotting it in labs in 8 different states, Florida being one of them.
Are those states heavily vaccine injured?
Well, Florida's being one of them. No, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nevada, North Carolina, Rhode Island, Washington, District of Columbia.
Well,
so
except for Nevada and North Carolina, I would understand it. But maybe there's a high vax population there too. I want to do a quick couple of minutes on what we did yesterday, because yesterday is one of those broadcasts that no one else in the world does. It is historic. to be able to write citizen legislation on the air. And just to give everybody a quick update, the governor of Florida, Governor DeSantis, had a proclamation calling for a special legislative session to take up bans, legislative bans on mask mandates and vaccine mandates. The legislature of Florida has decided that they don't want to do it. Because, and in fact, that was reported by Representative Anthony Sabatini, who I invited on the show yesterday. Never heard back. That's okay. Happens all the time. But what happened was yesterday we actually took on that challenge, and we pretty much got through the Parents' Bill of Rights. And we're going to rewrite that as one bill. Then I'm going to do a separate bill on what's going on with these horrible mandates, Section 381 of the laws, which is the public health enforcement. And that's where they had that one section that said that that the public health chief can require, by any means necessary, forced vaccinations. And of course, people looked at that when the vaccine thing came up, you know, last year, and they said, "Wait a minute, this is not good." And so we're gonna rewrite some legislation on that, and I'll be presenting this on November 9th at Wahoo Stadium in Pensacola. And it looks like it's going to be carried live on Studio 850. At least I hope so. They're certainly working on it. I'll have more details on that. But the point is that we are writing the bills that the Florida State Legislature won't. And we'll see who takes it up and see if the people will start, you know, using the legislation that comes out of us and all the folks that comment on it and help write it. And let's see if we can make this a much more viable prospect. But I'll have an audience of maybe, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 people to talk to, which would be pretty cool. Nice addition to the show if they want to join us and if they start advocating. And that'll prove Action Radio works. And so just to let you know, that's where we stand. So I'm going to write up that bill, the parental bill, based on what we talked about on yesterday's show. So check that out. And probably, well, I pretty much know what to do on the other ones because we talked about it. So I should have two bills ready, certainly within a couple of days, by Friday at the latest, to be able to present to people. And next week, of course, is the rally. And so people can review the bills and go from there. But that's where we stand on that. So not just talking about stuff, but actually doing something about it. And I'll let everybody know as soon as I post it, but you can always go to writeyourlaws.com. That's where it'll be. It'll be the top bill on the citizen bill ideas until it's ready to go to the state legislature. Then it goes to proposed laws. That's how we do things. Anybody have a question on yesterday? Because both Bianchi and Gene were there. And like I say, I know it's dull, dry, and tedious to go through this legislation, but if you don't do it, you don't realize how they're screwing you over. And there's a lot of things in there. We found the positions that, you know, well, this doesn't count, you know, death. And you have rights unless it's authorized by law that you don't have rights. And all those little words, those little taglines, those little disclaimers, those little exceptions are what make law so dangerous because people don't read the exceptions. And, well, unfortunately, I'm kind of a nerd about that, so I do. But any comments on yesterday? Did you guys have subsequent things we pick up on? I'm just curious.
Well, I really enjoyed yesterday's conversation about the laws that's on the book in Texas and how far back they go and who was in the presidency at that particular time. I'm sorry, the governorship at that particular time. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting how you can start putting the dots together with these different names, which leads us up to where we are today. It's funny how the Bushes came out and supported Barack Obama, especially Bush Jr., on some of the issues that he has put forth.
Weren't they at Aretha Franklin's funeral together, Bush and Obama?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
Yeah. Now, you wouldn't see Trump sitting there, too, would you? I mean, they're all ex-presidents. Why not? Why would Trump be there?
Michelle sitting next to George Bush Jr. with her hand in his lap.
Oh, my goodness. Are they friendlier than we know? Or is that just a friendly, you know, a nice gesture
on
her part?
I don't know. You know, a picture only shows one frame.
Yeah. Yeah, we need the rest of the story. Hey, I got a couple of things here I was thinking about. They're not news stories yet because, you know, they're coming out of my crazy brain. But, this is a story that's in the news. I want Gene's opinion on this. Saudi Arabian women are now able legally to own guns. I think this is a fascinating development, and I'm going to ask Claire Lopez's opinion on this. Saudi Arabia is changing so much. I mean, there are countries where men can't own guns, like most of the countries of the world, and here Saudi Arabian women in a Muslim country can now own guns, and they're thinking of competing in the Olympics. They show women at gun ranges. Most of the people buying guns in Saudi Arabia are women. I think this is fabulous. This is a huge development. Gene?
Yeah, that's hard to believe. you know, where they don't have any other real rights. I mean, to think they can't drive and wow, that's awesome.
Well, I think the driving is going to be changing. You know, if you can own a gun and you can't drive, that's going to be a problem.
My thought would be, oh God, you watch out now because they got a gun and they know how to use it. But yeah, that's good. It's interesting and exciting to think that mm-hmm. wow, they want to do something with it. As far as you know, like you said, shoot, go to the Olympics, and you know it's like that's mm-hmm. a really neat thing to be able to do that. Yeah.
Watch for a mass exodus of women escaping Afghanistan and running to Saudi Arabia, because they can still have a Muslim country and a culture they're familiar with, and have rights that no woman's gonna get in under the Taliban in Afghanistan. So that would be watch for a huge migration. He's all across, you know, just this, you want to talk about a caravan, you know. In fact, if I were female in Afghanistan, that's where I'd be going. You know, just get the hell out of there. But should be interesting. All right, I'm curious about that. But and think about that too. Honor killings, which is a stupid name for family assassination, where if you offend your family by being with somebody not approved by your family, the woman gets killed. Well, if women start owning guns, that might change, and that would be a good thing. All right, another idea I had. Pianki, do you have a comment on that? I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. I think we'd all agree with that happening.
Well, you know, I say that's their society. If they want to make that change, that's going to have to come within that society themselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm curious. Like I said, I want to talk to Claire about that because she's a Middle East expert. The other thing I thought would be interesting to talk about is how we can aid Taiwan. And one of this is something I thought of for different countries around the world, that if we, only go in with our military and try and work with their military, or we spend, billions of dollars, it ends up being a stupid nation-building exercise, and the people are not really served by us doing that. So I was thinking of AR-15s for peace, to Taiwan, that if the NRA was worth anything, or any of these big gun groups, or any of these large, conservative foundations, they'd be sending thousands of AR-15s to Taiwan right now. And, setting up shooting clubs, teach people how to use them and give them away. You know, China would have a very hard time occupying Taiwan if every family had an AR-15. Wouldn't cost a lot. Be a lot cheaper than a nuclear weapons program. It'd be a lot cheaper than all kinds of other programs I can think of. The Taiwan government maybe is able to buy them with their computer chip money. But we should have an AR-15s for peace program to Taiwan. That's what I do.
Well, yeah, you have another Cuba blockade too.
Oh, you think they'd be I think China would blockade the ships going in?
Yes, they would.
That'd be interesting. What if we flew them in on pallets and launched them out of C-130s?
Well, suppose they fall on somebody's head.
Well, they've got a parachute, But we've got military advisors there right now. What if they came under U.S. diplomatic? Well, see, the federal government wouldn't do that because Biden, the last thing he'd want to do is have people, defending. Well, there must be a way to get guns legal there. I mean, how about Amazon? We'll have them send them.
Suppose California secede, New Mexico secede, and ask China to provide them with military protection.
Oh, there's an interesting thought. Now, I can see California seceding, but you really think that that they would ask China to protect them from the United States? Is that where you're going?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yes. Please. Please explain this one. I'm a little skeptical. Not that California wants to secede. I'm skeptical that the citizens of California would want to be protected, by China from us. Are they that Marxist? You think it's that bad out there?
Well, yeah. Once the demographics change, you see it in Chicago where Hispanics are taking over many of the election wards and starting to push blacks out of their seats. So absolutely, democratic change, those that come from other parts bring their political aspiration, ideologies with them. It would be the reverse of Remember the Alamo.
So this is interesting because there are so many more Hispanic folks coming across our border illegally. So, but just, just natural-born American Hispanics. I hate the term Hispanic anyway. In fact, we can ask Josie about this. She'll be here in a few minutes. But what's happening with the black community? Do you think this is yet another way to the Democrats are trying to put down Black Americans is have more Hispanics take over election seats. That would be very interesting.
Well, you had a Democratic mayor that wanted to declare Chicago as being a sanctuary city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Eric Holder wanted to declare California as a sanctuary state. So all these pieces are starting to come together.
Well, but this is fascinating to me because, you know, the Democrats, they're not going to call, you know, Hispanics racist for taking over Black political seats because they're brown people, you know, and I hate that term. I don't like the term Black either. Pretty much. I don't like any of these terms, but I have to deal with them. But this idea that, you know, if you're a privileged minority group, you know, that has supremacy, you know, Latino supremacy, Black supremacy. Now you got two, you know, minority supremacy groups of Democrat majorities for now going against each other. I'm just curious what's happening. What's the reaction to that, Bianchi?
Well, it's true. You know, you look at Los Angeles, which had a large population of Blacks. They know they're there no longer. You had incidents of Latinos basically just running Blacks out of the neighborhood, firebombing homes and so on and so on and so on.
And where was the pushback? Where was the uproar? Where was the where was anything?
You just not hearing about it from me.
Well, thank you. It's about time we heard about it. All right, let me play a couple things here, and then we'll get to Josie, and then we'll have Paulette's going to join us at the top of the hour with the Naughty Report, and so I think we finally agreed on a name, but we'll fill you on that. Usually, I have more people. It's today's a little weird because we don't have Shelby, and so we don't have, you know, our bright and perky crazy debate that we usually have on Tuesdays. So Shelby's definitely missed. So hopefully she'll be back next time. All right, let me play some things and back in a couple minutes.
This is Greg Penglis for Action Radio with a personal recommendation and testimonial for Eric Colley, our new webmaster and marketing guru. Eric has been invaluable in upgrading our website, writeyourlaws.com. To help you with your marketing, Eric Colley offers proven, cost-effective strategies to help small businesses, startups, and nonprofits market themselves on Google Page One. You can gain thousands of followers and be far more competitive, and this is the good part, without paid advertising. Most business owners don't have the time or expertise to excel at marketing. Even fewer have the funds to hire a special employee. And you don't have to. There is a better option. Eric Colley, a consultant who uses leading-edge marketing strategies to increase your profitability at costs which are far more affordable than an advertising or marketing agency. You can be seen high up in Google's Page One. You can dominate Google's local three-pack of businesses next to the search results map. You can increase foot and website traffic. Eric Colley can be reached at 208-999-7510. That's 208-999-7510. His website is besmallbusiness.com. BESMALLBUSINESS. And you can reach him by email at eric@besmallbusiness.com. And that's how you do it.
Greg Penglis here for my book, The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction. Everyone at some point in their life wants to learn how to fly. Few try. Even fewer go on to get a license. I believe a major reason for that is how we teach people how to fly. My book is designed to help you navigate the flight training system, but it's so much more than that. It really describes an entirely new way to teach flying. So if you've never tried a lesson or got discouraged in your training and quit for any reason, this book can help you. Don't be a rote pilot who just follows procedures. Be a thinking pilot who makes great decisions, who understands all the reasons why we do what we do. You can incorporate these principles into your own flight training at any time. The Complete Guide to Flight Instruction is featured on the Action Radio with Greg Penglis Facebook page and is available from Amazon.com.
This is Greg Penglis. So what is Action Radio? It is a radio show with its own citizen legislature. That's you, the listener. It is a fully interactive system of listeners, expert guests, social media, writing bills, legislator input, bill submission, lobbying, and citizen action. Action Radio is the future of talk radio, using all the available technology in one completely integrated new system.
Action Radio, part of the ADHD Radio Network, the ultimate free speech zone. We the people give our consent to be governed through writing the laws by which we are governed, and have the power through juries to nullify the laws by which we do not consent to be governed. At Action Radio, we don't report the news. We are the news. Every other show reports what has happened. We talk about what can happen. From the questions no one has thought to ask, to the answers no one has thought to consider, to the actions no one has dared to take. That is Action Radio. Radio, dedicated to fixing everything.
All right, we're back. That's my new one, Josie. I don't think she's heard that before. Yeah, I definitely miss Shelby. Like I say, our great debates, great arguments, and it's really fun. But like I said, hopefully I'll check in with her and see if she'll be back next week. But it's been, you know, we need Josie to kind of perk things up a little bit here, because it's been a little, we've had a lot of stories. We've covered a lot of information. It's been great. But I'm just saying, it's not our usual Tuesday insanity. And I think I like the insanity more. Josie, what's going on? Oh, you know what I forgot to do?
Hey,
I can't believe I did this.
Good morning.
I forgot to play your theme.
Good morning,
yeah, hold on,
Greg.
Wait a minute.
Good morning,
we got
everybody.
A theme. I got a theme. I got a theme for Josie.
Okay,
and I forgot
go ahead.
To play it. I feel terrible. I'll be right back. It's not playing.
That's the thing.
She started off as a poor child in Nicaragua, living under communism. And now she is a prosperous small businesswoman with a great family, living the dream as an American citizen. Josie Cossie knows all about both worlds, communism and freedom. She knows where your dreams can come alive and where they can die very quickly. And so her report is as much from experience as knowledge, and her passion and crusade are very real. With connections all over Central and South America, Josie brings you the world south of the U.S. border, from personal experience, living, not just reporting, what's happening. And now, the Latina Report with Josie Cossie.
Okay, that's better. I'm out of it today. I'm still a little under the weather, not my normal, you know, crazy self. But
good morning.
Yeah, we'll get back there. Yeah, good morning. So,
good morning.
So
yeah.
What we
good
got
morning.
Bianchi, we got Jean, me, and you. So what's going on? What can you add
que
to us today?
Pasa, Bianchi? Well, I love my freedom, like you just said, and I will not go through communists again. And it's here. But anyway, I wanted to report this morning. I'm from Nicaragua, and many of you know. We have elections in Nicaragua on November 7th. And Daniel Ortega has kidnapped over 150 people. And some of the people that he have kidnapped are the people running for president.
That's beyond vote fraud. just take them.
I know.
Just
don't
arrest
cheat
them.
On the vote. Just arrest the people. Why not?
Well, where's the international human rights observation? Where's Jimmy Carter?
Yep.
And don't we have like a whole group of international election observers to ensure free and fair elections? Obviously, they screwed up in our country, but that's obviously a joke. So they don't do that with communists. They only do it with people that want to bring freedom to their country, right? Those are the ones that get investigated?
Yeah.
Thought so.
Yeah, they're not investigating nothing. So there's a lot of people behind bars right now. They kidnap them, and they put them in jail, so they're not in the picture anymore. So many people were running, and not anymore. And the elections are in a few days in Nicaragua.
Wow. Will mm-hmm. they be released after the election, or is this, you know, is this a long-term
I don't know.
Imprisonment?
Maybe they'll torture them and kill them. I don't know. Communists is communist, power and control. Here we do the fraud. We don't kidnap the people. Well, the Clintons been murdering many, so through the years.
A lot of people in jail, a lot of people in D.C. jail that were kidnapped after the, that were imprisoned after January 6th, the fake insurrection, the staged event. But,
innocent people are in jail in this country,
Yep.
All right, so thousands of Nicaraguans are traveling towards Honduras, not to come here, but to get the vaccine because they are not trusting the vaccine from Nicaragua because the vaccines are coming from Russia and also from Cuba, and they're not trusting that vaccine. So I don't know what's going on. But, you know, the odd thing about this, I haven't heard that people are having all the different symptoms and dying from the vaccine like in America. So I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on that because it seems like the people dying from the vaccine is just in America. But I'm not sure.
No, they're just, they're not, no, it's happening all over the world. I mean, there's some soccer player that just passed out in a field recently.
Well, that's true.
But I mean, Israel has problems. The more vaccinated the country, the more vaccine injured, the more problems they're having. But in communist health systems, don't they keep, isn't that part of the propaganda that their medical system is the world's best and communist health is perfect?
Yes.
Nobody ever dies. And
exactly.
Yeah, so they wouldn't report anything anyway, would they?
Yeah, true. True, but I'll try to find out more about it. If people are dying in Nicaragua from the vaccine, and that's why they're fleeing to Honduras to get the vaccines there from other countries. They don't want to get the Russian vaccine. I don't know.
Why would a Honduran
vaccine? I don't know.
You know, considering the ones here are crap.
Yeah, the vaccines here are horrible. They're murdering people. So in Nicaragua, they're forcing kids 12 to 17 years old to get the vaccine. They want to kill the little kids too, so not just the grown-ups. And as soon as, like I told you before, as soon as they come at the border going across, they're vaccinating the little kids, but not the adults at all at immigration. They're doing it in immigration.
Well,
and
maybe you know this.
5,000...
Go ahead.
Huh?
Well, I was going to say, we've heard reports that they're getting ivermectin at the border. And allegedly for parasites and things like that, but what they're really doing is killing COVID of people that are coming into the country. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
Have you heard?
No, but I can find out.
Hey, Greg, the articles that I saw in the past, I'm not able to find any of them right now. So
in terms of what, ivermectin?
Yes, at the border, yes.
Oh, they've scrubbed the
internet.
Maybe
they're giving it to the adults, but the kids are getting the shot. Because I personally know a family here in Pensacola, the little boy had the shot without the permission. They just gave it to him anyway. And the little boy's having chest pain almost every night. Yeah.
Wow.
And he cannot bend over like that, and he starts getting dizzy. And he's got other symptoms going on with the vaccine. This young man, 12 years old, but he looked like 10 because, you know, they don't eat that well over there. But the caravan, the 5,000 in the caravan are going to be arriving in Mexico today. And, you know, I was watching the video from Oscar that he's in the middle of the caravan filming and talking to people and all that. There were so many people with little kids with tiny little strollers that the wheels will not even make it a mile. And in flip-flops and all that. It's like so stupid. They think they can fool people, you know. So many women and kids were showing. They were not showing men at all, barely. So it's all a scam by the United Nations so people can film all the little moms and the little kids. The same thing like what they did from Afghanistan. You see women with little kids and all that, but really and truly what's coming is terrorists. Terrorists are coming, and I almost believe, Greg, that the weapons that we supposedly left behind in Afghanistan, I think the weapons are here with the terrorists coming in, they're all going to take position, taking all those weapons to attack innocent Americans here when Donald Trump returns. And I think that's the plan of the, I don't know, 100,000, 200 that they're supposed to come in from Afghanistan. They're going to be ready with weapons in hands. And,
well, they're not
going to
get too far because there's a whole lot of Americans with guns, and I don't think Americans, an American military and American National Guard would have, you know, huge objections, you know, to killing fellow Americans. That's why they're trying to weed those people out of the military. But we have no problem killing Afghanistan, you know, terrorists in our country. I'd have no problem with it. You know, and so that's what saves us. I mean, the Second Amendment still is there, and the fact that we have those guns, if they 100,000, Afghan terrorists trying to, you know, as an invading army, would not last a week in this country. We cut off their food, we cut off their supplies, we cut them off from our own government. You know, the loyal American folks in the military and the National Guards would join the citizens against the Biden insurrection, and he'd be out of office.
Yeah.
They tried to do something like that.
So I think the American people, like I say over and over, they're very good people. They believe they cannot imagine things like this, but I think this is what's happening, and that's why the illegals are coming through our border without any protection from the American people, and these people should be protecting U.S. citizens, and they're not. They're bringing criminals, MS-13s, cartels are coming in. There are people from the Congo, from all over the world are coming here because I remember when they were looting and doing everything in New York City, they hired over 10,000 Haitians, the Democrats, paying them to loot and kill and destroy the American people. So these people are wicked. These people do not care about the American citizens at all. And a lot of the military leaders will be arrested. Together with a lot of Republicans, they will. It's coming. Be patient. Be patient, patriots. It is coming.
That's what I'm asking.
They're not
going to
get away.
Oh, well, that's what I'm hoping. But I think I'm going to ask you about Virginia in a minute. I want to see what you think where that's going to go. But I think the average American patriot, Trump-supporting person is saying, okay, it's bad. We know it's bad. It's not to the point of revolution. Because we still have hope that, you know, the vote fraud, the Biden vote will be reversed, will be disqualified. And so they're watching. But there's a point at which Americans will have had enough. And we're not there yet because things are bad economically, but they're not shooting Americans in the streets. They're not, you know, you don't see firebombs going off all over the place. I mean, in Democrat cities there are, but that's their problem. They've got, they basically, you know, let the lawless, you know, walk in. The Antifas, the Black Lives Matter, the other domestic terrorists. But in most, you know, American conservative, regular, you know, heartland cities, that's not a problem yet. But if it becomes that, then the, you know, when you upset, you know, Fred Neville Mertz in Kansas, you've done something really bad. and it's interesting that I think Americans are sort of standing by. This is going to be a big test today. If this goes through as I think it should, I think a lot of people are going to breathe a sigh of relief that we actually beat the vote fraud. But if it doesn't, then that's going to be one step closer to we've had enough of this nonsense and people are going to start to get really agitated. And then the geldings better do something or they're going to have a real problem on their hands. There's only so much the Americans are going to take. Now, we've already turned the corner. We've already said that the resistance has started. And as long as the resistance is honored, and it seems to be because laws are changing, company policies are changing, things are getting better at different levels. But as long as the resistance is honored and is allowed to resist peacefully, things will stay peaceful. But if they start bringing in, as you're saying, terrorists and they start getting violent, well, here's the thing here. I got a story in Daily Wire, September 22nd. Afghan refugees face federal charges after trying to rape a child and strangle a woman in Wisconsin, a liberal place, once again. Story: two Afghan refugees were brought into the United States following, and it says Democrat President Joe Biden's disastrous pullout. Let's call that President Insurrectionist Coup and Surrender to the Taliban would be a more accurate characterization, are facing federal charges related to allegedly trying to rape a minor and suffocate a woman. So these are the folks that that Biden brought in. Well, actually, Obama brought in. So these are his Obama Muslim goat herders with their five-year-old wife. you know, are now, you know, committing crimes. And we're going to see more and more of this. You can't bring in all these people who are, you know, undocumented, who hopped on a plane because someone told them to be there and not have huge problems in crime. This is only going to get worse. And these are just the reported crimes. What about all the ones that aren't being reported? You know, the illegal alien crime stats. There's a website that just deals with illegal alien criminals. I post it every once in a while. Yeah, go ahead.
Obama's the one behind it, and we know it. Many of us know Obama's the one running the show, and Susan Rice, both of them, and, of course, China. But Biden is just asleep. Did you see him in the thing that he was doing yesterday? He was falling asleep, and somebody had to come and kind of, like, wake him up.
Oh, yeah, President Poopy Pants?
I know. It's like, it's ridiculous what's happening. So, but people just, they're just trying to hide it. The View, I don't know how in the world, I came across that channel yesterday in my store because I never put that channel on. They're a bunch of radical left communists, The View. Mm-hmm. It should have been shut down a long time ago. And they were talking about climate change.
Call them communists. You don't shut them down. That's not right. But they don't have a big viewership, and you can compete against them.
No, but they've been rude to so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can't shut them
down.
They
should have been off the air.
You can shut down NPR.
Off the air a long time ago.
Yeah, see, this is where I disagree with you, because, you know, you don't want to shut down competing sources just because you disagree with them. The fact that they're trying to shut other people down is wrong. So you prevent them
from...
No,
they have done so many bad things to guests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So don't go on
their
show. Yeah, so don't go on.
I don't go on their show. Never.
Yeah, but, I mean, who would go on, you know, remember Jerry Springer? He staged fights to increase his ratings, okay? Well, most people wouldn't go on that show. Geraldo Rivera in the early days, no one would go on that show. He was staging fights. Who wants to be in that nonsense unless you want to stage a fight, right? And so the same way CNN, you know, I call it the Creative News Network. Now it's known as the Communist News Network. You can't shut them down, but what you can do is make fun of them and ridicule them and highlight their horrible things. You know, ridicule is the thing that destroys the left. See, people don't realize how effective it is to say something like President
Putin. You cannot make fun of them anywhere, like in media, because they shut you down.
No. Look at Ben Garrison's cartoons. Look at, you know, Breitbart. And there's all kinds of places that President Poopy Pants is being made fun of by me right now, for example. You know, so it's out there. There's definitely places, but you got to look for the sources. So, and the problem is the Google searches, you know, they give you, you know, 20 liberal sources before the first, you know, halfway decent conservative source.
Of course.
That's a problem. But I mean, the censorship is there, but you can still, you know, say a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it's still, you know, and ridicule is the one thing that they can't stand. I mean, Atlanta's brought back the Tomahawk Chop. Isn't that great? You know, and the whole stadium, you know, waving their hands down, you know, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it's funny. But this is rebellion. You know, it's not a bunch of racists who are trying to, you know, make fun of Native Americans. No, this is rebellion. And how do you rebel against the left? Well, you do what they can't stand. Well, how do you do what they can't stand? Well, you yell, "Let's go, Brandon." You know, and you say it on a Southwest airliner. You know, you do, you have an entire stadium's full of people instead of saying, "F you, Biden." Because, you know, that's rude. Most people don't want to say that, you know, but they don't mind saying, "Let's go, Brandon," which basically means F you, Biden. So, you know, everybody knows that. So the ridicule,
of course,
the ridicule is getting, and this is one of the best parts of resistance, because what are they going to do? We're just making fun of them. But the left hates being made fun of, because once they're not taken seriously, because once you start making fun of them, they know they're not respected. And once they know they're not respected, that's when they get stupid. And they get mean, and they get nasty, and they send out Merrick Garland and his stormtroopers, you know, the Minister of Internal Security and secret police, you know, and then we start, but you got to call him that. And so we talk about these things, and we, like I say, we find out at the border. Gene was saying that all the stories that illegal aliens are getting ivermectin to cure their COVID, you know, that those stories are gone. Well, I'm not surprised. Go ahead, Jesse. I'm sorry.
But we don't want to give it to people in our hospitals here, especially at Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart should have been shut down a long time ago. But a lot of nurses are telling me that Sacred Heart is being sued like you would not believe.
We know there's one lawsuit. There's a lawsuit, Jeff Childers, law firm. He's the one that did the lawsuit against Gainesville for their stupid mask mandate. You know, against the governor's order, you know, the governor's executive order. This is why we're working on the bill. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the yesterday show, but we basically went over the Parents' Bill of Rights and Section 381, the public health authorizations and enforcement. And so I'll be rewriting those. Now, I should probably bring this up, too. I'll be speaking at the rally November 9th. And so we're going to announce our bills.
Yeah,
and
I didn't know about
do.
That.
Yeah, well, I had to make sure it was all confirmed before I said anything. Yeah. So I'll be speaking there. Go ahead.
I'm going to try to go, but it's my birthday on the night, so usually we go out and eat dinner, so
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Josie. How do you say happy birthday in Spanish?
Feliz cumpleaños.
Feliz cumpleaños. There we go.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
No, feliz Navidad. Feliz cumpleaños.
Well, feliz Navidad. All of a sudden, Jose Feliciano came to mind. I started channeling. Feliz Navidad. La, 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 la. Feliz Navidad. I used to sing that when I did cable car tours in San Francisco. We played Christmas carols, and Jose Feliciano was one of our favorite carols. We had this whole Christmas song soundtrack, and we decorate the cable cars.
Yeah.
These are motorized cable cars. We decorate them with lights and stuff, and we take people all around. We had hot chocolate on board. Oh, yeah, it was great.
Greg, do you have Paulette this morning?
Mm-hmm. She'll be on soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in fact, I sent her a... I think she's going to be, we've been trying to decide on titles for her report and everything else. Let me just check out on her right now. She's not on yet. I don't see her. I don't see her on the board yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell
you.
I'm
going to, probably in a minute, I'm going to mute myself and just continue listening because this morning, and I have to open at 10, I have to, I'm selling my in Miami, so I'm not supposed to die pretty soon. So,
well, that's good.
So I'm selling them because they cannot transfer it here. So my niece is going to buy it for a family member that just died. So, giving them a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Wow. I don't know. I think I'll just have my ashes scattered somewhere.
No, I don't want to be. I don't want to be cremated. No way.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't be sitting in the ground for eternity either. So, you know, just put me on an airport. Put me in
the
end of an airport runway.
Me.
What's that?
I said, I'll let the worms eat me. Give them some food.
Oh, are we cheery this morning? What else can we talk? How do you all folks want to die now that we're going there? Crazy stuff. Actually, Paulette's here right now. 2 minutes to talk to her, and I don't know why her mic thing didn't work yet.
I'll say hello, and I'll mute myself.
Okay.
Hola.
Hey, Paulette. Welcome to the show.
Hola, chica.
Hola,
pasa?
Chica. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy
good morning.
Bien. Muy bien. ¿Y tú?
Good morning. I can't believe it's your birthday next week.
Yes.
I'm
yeah,
so
I better,
excited.
I better
I
order my little cake from
here.
Yeah.
I know. I already know what I'm going to do, so you can't – you don't have an opinion.
No.
You don't get an opinion. Yeah, because I already know what I'm going to do for you.
Oh, good. Sweet.
But the only thing is, your birthday's on Tuesday. Is that right? 1 week from today?
Yes. Tuesday,
yeah,
I don't do Zoom, but Tuesday, so it kind of like works out good.
Yeah, so we may have to do it on Tuesday because that's when I do my show on Tuesday night. We may have to do lunch on Wednesday or dinner on Wednesday or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
we got to figure something out.
You do realize we broadcast worldwide and you guys are making dinner arrangements. I just thought I'd throw that in.
You can come, Greg.
Well, thank you.
Tuesday.
I have a rally to attend. In fact, I have a rally to speak at. I'll be announcing
our
bills. Yeah, that's funny.
Yes, but you know what? The birthday idea is going to lead a great segue into what I'm talking about today
Well, hold on just a second.
My little naughty report.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're going to call it the naughty report now. Make sure that, Josie, do you have
the naughty
everything
report.
Covered you want? Jesse, did you get everything covered you wanted to?
No, I'm done. I'm going to put you guys on hold. I'm going to mute myself, and I'll continue listening, okay?
Oh, sounds good.
Yay,
awesome. Thanks for dropping in. Yeah.
God bless.
I say, I'm not my normal, outrageous self, so I'm kind of a little more sedate today. So it's a little bit of a cold. So it's nice to have... Paulette's voice is definitely coming through. You miss one person out, like Shelby's out this week. But I got to get Paulette and Shelby on at the same time. That would be hysterical. We'll work on that. Anyway, Paulette Martin, welcome back to the show. And let's talk about the naughty report.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. And I'm very excited to talk about naughty stuff.
Okay.
So, of course, I should probably introduce myself for, you know, those who don't know me and what exactly the, quote, naughty report is all about. But anyways, so I started a blog a little over a year ago called Naughty Tonight. It's where I take a recipe that's a little bit naughty and I convert it and make it nice. And I think one of the first questions everybody always asks is, well, what do you consider naughty? Well, naughty is definitely subject to the person who is eating the food. For instance, if you had an allergy to something like, you know, wheat or dairy or whatever, and you might go into anaphylactic shock, then that would obviously be naughty for you to eat. But sometimes it's for people who are trying to lose weight or just trying to have a really healthy mind, or there are many, many reasons for eating nice, quote, healthy food besides just being allergic, et cetera. But basically something is naughty because it hurts you. Okay, so that's really kind of the segue into what we're talking about. And I kind of laugh because this particular show, it's kind of like our baby, and we were pregnant and trying to decide what to call it. And we have like, I think we have like at least 10 titles for the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happened. We evolved.
Like, don't eat yourself to death. Let's see. I talked about should you ever eat naughty food and the arguments against logic, which kind of makes me laugh. I also came up with another one. What would Spock eat?
Oh.
And so anyway,
well,
we have a lot of...
Oh, yeah, we've had some fun with this, and we'll do this, too. I mean, Josie's had different titles for her show, and, of course, I had Wendy Arthur had, she never liked any of my themes to the Oh, My God report, so we went through about six of those. So, you know, we evolve, we change, we're adaptable here. But as soon as people think of naughty food, you know the thing of wedding cakes with unusual anatomical designs or statues or things like that's where they're going with it. That's where their mind goes, I bet you. So this is part of the fun of this here, is that naughty food is not rude, it's just bad for you. So but we can do rude food someday too. You want to do rude food?
rude food
that inspires you.
Rude food.
Yeah.
I like that. That's great.
Well, I've been wanting it. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, it's perfect, you know, just thinking about, you know, Josie's birthday, because you would, the question is, so her birthday is coming up next week, and should we give her a naughty cake or should we give her a nice cake? And so that really is going to be kind of our talk today. You know, are there certain times that it's okay to sometimes have a little sugar or have something that's a little bit naughty? And that's actually what we're talking about. And I guarantee you that if you ask Josie, she'd say, you better put sugar in my cake.
Well, sugar in itself isn't bad because everything breaks down into sugar. You know, carbohydrates, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen. Carbohydrates, carbs, are sugars. C6H12O6, your basic glucose formula. Fruits are sugars. Dairy products ultimately are sugars, lactose. You know, so sugars in everything. Starches, potatoes, you know, are complex starches, which are, in effect, sugars. So how do you, you know, if you had to define good sugar versus bad sugar.
Well, there's a totally different thing between a natural sugar and a sugar that was actually manufactured and processed in a...
That's what I want to find out about,
you know.
Okay, so...
I call it innocent. You know, what we've done to a lot of food is literally rape it. It's literally, we took it from its innocent environment and how it was supposed to be, you know, eaten, and we've done really unnatural, you know, naughty things to it to convert it and make it even worse for us. But you know, I was thinking about
myself. Is that just based on profit? Is it just easier? Because I know our great grandparents, you know, they had all natural stuff. They had to make everything from scratch. They wouldn't know. If you said, are you going to make it from scratch? They'd laugh at you. Say, what are you talking about? We make it the way we always make it. You take the eggs, you take the flour, you mix it together, you throw in the butter, you know, and everything's made from scratch, as it were. But nowadays we don't do that, and it's all sugar infused, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it's just like technology or anything else. We tried to make things easier for us. We tried to make things work better, faster, easier. So we didn't have to work as hard or whatever. But as a result, too, we also created a monster. It's kind of like the way the government is. When they're like, uh-oh, we have a little problem. Let's see how we can fix it. Oh, let's make a new law. And then it's like all of a sudden, all right, we just made a mess.
That raises an interesting question. Speaking of the government, are there regulations on sugar?
Well, that's a good question. And I'm sure there are some regulations on sugar, just like the process of anything else. Mm-hmm. Are there enough regulations? I don't know. I mean, you know, that the question is, you know, just because, I mean, you know, you can go all the way back to, you know, what's the law good for? And of course, everybody will probably say on some level, you know, the law's there to, you know, protect us. But, mm-hmm. you know, but how far do you take that? I mean, like, you know, you could go absolutely insane making laws and getting insane with, you know, legalism. You know, but at the end of the day, we have to be able to have the freedom to make our own choices. And really, we should be able to choose our own suicide.
Well, there's a cheery thought. We're just full of good news today, aren't we? Well, yeah, and the thing is, the sugar, well, when I think about it, you know, I as I'm looking, there are calorie designations on food products. There are ingredients, there's vitamins, there's minerals. They actually say sugar, but they don't give a percent recommendation. Does the FDA have a percentage, recommendation for sugar intake? Or a limit
on it?
That's
interesting. A recommendation. Well, you know, they do have the food pyramid, which, by the way, should be the other way around. It really should be upside down, and the way that it is actually, and they've even come back on that food pyramid, and they've had to change things a little bit because they have carbs that are like the larger part of it. And even, uh-huh. you know, talking about like sugar, like you were talking about things that break down, you know,
right.
there's actually, I have a friend that, you know, actually says, you know, hey, I don't eat sugar. You know, my family's diabetic, so I avoid sweets. Well, that's wonderful, but he eats bread like nobody's tomorrow. Well, you know, mm-hmm. breads can have the exact same effect, just like what you were talking about. You know, they break down in your body's sugar. Anyway, some things worse. I mean, there's actually, you know, certain types of bread are actually worse than sugar. And so at the end of the day.
Name one. Name a naughty bread. Well, I'm curious now.
Name a naughty
bread. What are the naughty breads? Well, you started it.
I don't know product name. Lord have mercy. I mean, you know, I don't want to get
your
sued.
Your food title.
Luckily, no.
Okay.
Yeah. But anything that would use, you know, bleached, you know, white flour, you know, when you think about it, everybody kept making fun of, you know, Trump when he was talking about, you know, that time that he was talking about the Clorox or whatever. But, you know, look mm-hmm. how many people are eating Clorox in their food. I mean, you know, and does
well,
it really kill
him? Well, let's straighten that out, because that's what happened was he was talking about, I think it was either hydroxychloroquine or something, and someone actually ingested a pool cleaner that had some kind of hydroxy compound in it. It was not hydroxychloroquine. It's not a medicine. It was not approved for humans, obviously. It was for cleaning a fish tank, and it killed them. And they said, oh, see, the president's telling people to take fish tank cleaner. No, that's not true. That was a total lie to discredit hydroxychloroquine, which does cure COVID because, in fact, it cures all kinds of viral infections because it breaks down the viral protein wall and allows zinc to go in and kill the actual DNA virus and prevent it from replicating. So that we know. So there's so much misinformation out there about what you can and can't do, but you really need to get these things kind of squared away as to what it is. And I heard something very interesting about bread, that it used to be white bread was king. You know, we all grew up on Wonder Bread, and you could, you know, squish it into, make a little snowman out of it. I mean, this is amazing stuff. And then we thought, well, white bread's bad. Brown bread is good. You know, whole wheat bread, 9 grain, 7 grain, 12 grain, the more grains, the better. And what it turns out is that's actually worse for you. And I've forgotten why, but there's something about the lectins, I think, which are things that cause what we call leaky gut syndrome. So in other words, these are things that poke holes in your intestine, which is like one cell thick. So that food can pass back and forth and all this kind of stuff. I'm learning about this nutrition stuff. This is why I wanted you on the show. But the whole wheat breads are actually worse for you than the white bread. So the idea that the bleached flour is a bad thing, I'm not sure, because now they're going back and forth. You know, first the white bread was bad. You know, whole grain bread was good. Now they're saying whole grain bread is bad and white bread is better. So what's the latest on that?
No, neither. I would
so
say
neither
no
bread
neither.
Is good. Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. I can go. I don't eat bread anymore, just because I don't eat wheat products anymore. I don't do cereal.
There's the whole thing too about GMOs.
Okay.
You know, the genetically modified, you know, things. And I do like a touch on this actually on a video that I have on YouTube when I talk about the gut microbiome and mm-hmm. You know, how GMOs actually can directly affect the microbiome. You know, studies have actually showed that the GMOs that they use in their crops are actually causing the gut microbiome to, but leaky gut can do that too. And that's a whole other subject. I would love on one of our shows to talk a little bit about that. But
oh yeah,
so
I want to. Yeah, we're just sort of highlighting things now, but you always come back and expand later. Yeah.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. But let's just circle back to the whole is naughty food okay occasionally, and you know, again, I keep thinking about like Spock, and I always think like what would Spock eat, and you know, is it. You know, should, you know, if we determine, let's just say that we determine, because right now we're talking about different propositions, whether or not they're invalid. Let's assume that they're all valid just for argument's sake. Okay. Because I love, you know, I love debate and I love to say, well, let's, you know, presume for a second that my argument, you know, is, you know, valid, that, you know, each of the points, you know, are valid and that we agree that certain things like sugar or white bread or whatever, let's just say that we agree that all of that. So the question comes about, should we ever eat it then? If it's not good for you, should we ever eat it? You know, what would Spock say? What would Spock eat? Because, you know, he only would do something that was logical.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would you would presume that it would never be good, you know, to eat sugar, right? If it's bad for you, it would never be good to eat anything that has a toxic or criminal, or it would never be good to smoke. It would never be good to drink alcohol. It would never be good, you know, so let's say that all those presumptions are true. So would you obviously assume that you would never touch those things? Or would you, as modern wisdom, as people often, as you hear people say all the time, I just had a friend the other day say this, and this is my inspiration for the show. This is literally what he said. Everything in moderation. Everybody always says that, right? Everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know if that presumption is true at all. And my friend actually followed that up with, except heroin. which actually,
I've heard except moderation. Everything moderation except moderation.
The funny part about, you know, saying everything in moderation except heroin actually brings up a very interesting point.
I can't wait for this one.
Are there certain things that should never be used in moderation? And why is it? Why is it that some things that are bad are okay in moderation? Is it okay to have a slow death but not a long death? I mean, in other words, if you, you know, get addicted to heroin or crack cocaine or whatever, you know, you're going to die probably pretty quickly, a lot quicker than other people. And, you know, but if you have, you know, sugar, well, that's a slower death. I mean, it takes a while, you know, how much quicker?
People don't,
you know, but
hold on. You're on a good point here. People don't think of sugar as something causing death. In fact, people are still fussing over cholesterol, which is nowhere near as bad as inflammation. And I'm still learning about this. So sugar causes inflammation. Inflammation is like the number one problem. It's the number one cause of heart disease, of inflamed blood vessels, organs, all these other kind of things. I mean, diabetes comes right from sugar. And so the fact of sugar diabetes, you know, so the sugar itself, it's beyond naughty. It's suicidal when you think about it.
Sure.
And by removing, in my case, like I say, because I heard a while ago that to get rid of, before you came on, we had Tina Terry. And Tina Terry is probably about a 75-year-old aerobics instructor, English professor, and part of the carnivore diet. So she talked about steaks all the time. So it was like she eats steaks, bacon, and butter. I think that's about it. Steaks, bacon, and butter in that order. And that's your diet. And it got rid of rheumatism, got rid of arthritis, got rid of asthma, got rid of all kinds of things. She still teaches, you know, 6 aerobics classes a week, as far as I know. She still does all that. I should get around with you sometime. I'll ask her and see if she can come on. She's in Arizona, which is kind of early out there, depending on the time zones. Well, maybe with daylight saving, you know, going away this weekend, unfortunately, we can do this. But we've had health shows before, and I love doing this because it is so critical. You know, if I want to do action radio for 30 more years, say, for example, you know, I've got to stay healthy. So I'm not going to eat the wheat, the grains, the sugars, the breads, you know, the carbs, all the things that, you know, the Oat Bran. Remember when Oat Bran was the big rage like 20 years ago? If you weren't eating Oat Bran, you know, you were an idiot. Now it's carb, it's a sugar, it's a bread. You know,
right.
things come and go. It's fascinating how this all works. But yeah, and I got lead on the line.
Yeah,
so I'll get to her in just a second. But yeah. What do you think?
I mean, you know, absolutely. Well, I always joke that what is the worst sin? Is the worst sin Is it the one that you're doing, or is it the one that somebody else is doing? Well, it's always easier to talk about the one that somebody else is doing. For instance, if you're, you know, a person who likes to look at other people and be like, yeah, that smoking's terrible because you would never smoke and you're watching somebody else and you're like, that's
right.
The worst thing you could ever do. Well, the worst thing, in my opinion, is the thing that you do, the thing that you need to work on. So in other words, when I examine my own health, I have to examine, like, what is the problem? What is the thing that, what's the thing that's actually killing me, whether it's slowly or whether, you know, we take forever. And as far as the carnivore diet goes, those people, to some degree, I agree with. But for me, I always say, why would you miss out on all the beautiful green things that God's given us? And for me, when I examine my own health, I always go to me, what I believe is a source that never changes, and that's the Bible. And that goes back to basically how I live. I have to go back to a source, because the thing about it is medical reports, studies, those change over the years. I mean, like, you know, think of how many, think of, just like you were talking about, look at how many things they told us to eat 20 years ago, and now they're saying, oh, you know, oops, that was a mistake.
Now the things,
you know,
they told us not to eat, the things like eggs and steak and bacon, all they said, don't eat those. Those are bad. Those have cholesterol. It turns out cholesterol, A, isn't the problem, and B, neither are the eggs. So it's a,
right,
it's
exactly.
Fascinating how
well,
things change.
Well, you know, but, well, I mean, but again, if you go back to the sources, if you go back to the sources of where some of those products are coming from, again, we're doing unnatural things to them. Go back to the way that we did things in the Bible. Guess what? Those things are the things that we're finding out time and time again are good for us.
Are you talking about a kosher diet, or is there a Christian diet?
Well,
what kind
of diet. Just go back to the way that we did things, the way that we treated the land, the way that we treated the things that God gave us. I mean, we have those basic things like honey. You know, again, that's a natural sugar, high in carbs. However, we're finding out, wow, amino acids, it's really good for you. You know, so we go back to those very, very traditional ideas that never really change. They pretty much stay the same. That's why with a carnivore diet, I'm like, why on earth would you miss out on the things that God gave us? Why would you miss out on, you know, collard greens? You know, here we live in the South. I mean, who doesn't eat greens? Weirdos. I mean,
listen, I'm not giving up avocados and strawberries and blueberries. I don't care what anybody
says.
Why would
you even have avocados? Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Luckily,
but
you know, avocados have made a real comeback. So have olives. And I'm so excited because, you know, I've got some kind of Mediterranean in me. I've never done that whole DNA thing, but I'm telling you, I got Mediterranean in me. I can't eat enough olives, olive juice, you know, olive oil.
Well, you could do it by blood
avocado.
Type. We should
but
talk about
the
blood type diet. Did you ever hear about that, the blood type diet, where they had, it's like, I'm type B, so I'm like, you know, the Caucasus Mountains, I'm like the original Caucasian, which is, you know, Greeks, Italians, Middle Eastern, Russian steppes. You know, we go back to when Conan the Barbarian said, what is best in life? Falcon on your shoulder, riding through the steppes, the wind in your hair. And it's like, no, that's not right. And Conan gets another answer. But, I mean, that's where my background is. So, for me, dairy products and Mediterranean stuff is like a great diet for me. So that works. I'm going to get Lita. I'm going to bring it in here in just a second because I'm curious about that. But blood type diets, you know, things like that. There's all these different things that people have, you know, and if you're an ancestry,
in
the Mediterranean
diet,
you don't have to be Greek or Italian or Jewish to have a Mediterranean or Russian to have a Mediterranean diet, even though we're all related by blood type. The Northern Europeans are type O. The Southern Europeans are type B. It's just how it worked out. Anyway.
Right.
Little sideline. My question for you, and I'm going to bring Lita. I'm going to make her line live now because I want to ask her the same question.
Sure.
Is sugar addictive?
Are you going to, you want Lita's opinion or want my opinion? Or
no,
you
want yours
get
first
and
I'll get to Lita. Yeah. So, like that big pause that people can think, is sugar addictive?
Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing. Let's tell you. So addictions are two times, okay? Because an addiction, first of all, can be a physical addiction. For instance, no one will disagree that tobacco is addictive, okay? But if you actually examine it, there is a physical addiction, but that physical addiction is only about 20% of the actual addiction. The true addiction is actual mental. It is an emotional addiction, okay? Well, if you think that sugar can't actually be addictive, then you're crazy. First of all, sugar is a physical addiction. For instance, if now, if you took a candy bar, which, by the way, I am such a big candy bar person, okay? I'm not going to lie. I mean,
Snickers,
I try not to eat sweets, okay, but you know, the evil Halloween was upon us, And I bought some of that candy because I'm going to kill a bunch of children, you know, with all that sugar. So I had the Snicker bars. I found out that one of those little bitty Snicker bars is like 15 carbohydrates. Well, you know, you can't – here's the thing. Look, back to the addiction. You can't eat one candy bar because you eat one of those and you're like, whoa, that's good. And then and I'm telling you, in 1 hour after you eat those four candy bars because you actually refrain from eating the entire bag, in 1 hour – you are not going to feel good, and you're going to want something else because it never satisfies, and it always makes you want more. It's just like bad relationships. I mean, I'm sorry to throw this one out there. Cause this
well, that
is
seems perfectly clear. Logical. But, I'm not a big fan of relationships.
Well, you know,
I've tried it a few
times.
You
know, they've actually done studies on people who are in love, and the dopamine that you know comes is higher. That addiction that is greater than heroin. And so when two people fall in love that maybe are horribly toxic to one another – that's why they can't stay apart. That's why women can't break it off with these men that are abusing them because they're so in love. Their brain is like taken over. And it's the same thing with sugar.
Is that the same thing with men, though? Because men get in toxic relationships just as much as women do. I mean, it takes two to do it. You know, if one partner is toxic, you know, it's worse when both are toxic, but at least they're abusing each other. But if you've got a toxic person, it's just as easy for a man to get in a toxic relationship as a woman, I would think. But there are probably differences in how it happens and what biochemical things are involved. I mean, are they both doped up on dopamine, or what are the differences? What physical chemical differences between, you know, men in abusive relationships and women? And this is a whole fascinating topic. Lita, I'll get to you, I promise. But what do you think?
Let's
are there chemical differences?
Let's hear what Lita has to say.
you want to wait on that one? Oh, fine. Lita, is sugar addictive? You're in the health profession.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could just go to Walmart and watch certain people, how they shop, what foods. Just look at what's in their grocery cart and then look at their bodies. That's the end result. I mean... just in general, I mean, you could just observe that as general population. I point this to my son because I teach him because I want him to be aware of what food and sugar and things that are harmful to him and excess can cause to the body. And so I show him, I'm like, look, and not out of judgment, teaching him. Like, for example, there was a man at Walmart in the, the handicap cart thing. Well, he was morbidly obese. He had all these, like, sores and things on his legs. And his whole cart was filled with soda pops, like soda 2-liter pop bottles.
So he's basically
That's
killing himself
diet.
With that diet, right?
Basically, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So when I take care of my patients and I see that there's a need for education, I will speak out. And a lot of times they'll receive it. Some of them, sometimes they won't. And that's their choice.
Right.
But I know I at least planted a seed for them to be aware of their situation and the self-sabotaging. Because they know they're not stupid. And a lot of times they're diabetic, they're unhealthy, they're morbidly obese, and you wonder why they have all these issues. It's because a lot of times what they put into their bodies, it reflects what the outcome of their health is. And, I mean, you know, stress also can do that. I mean, you know, there's other factors, but what you put in your body will reflect it. So
yes, absolutely.
When I was in college, oh my gosh, I didn't have time to cook. I would go drive an hour to school, to the university, do clinicals. I mean, it was a full day. Drive an hour back, pick my son up from daycare. I'd stop at Burger King or McDonald's. I mean, you know, I should have known better as a, you know, nursing student, but I didn't have time. I mean, that was. And then come home and have to write papers. I mean, I felt so awful, but I'm still trying to shed off that fat from
all
those hamburgers and junk food.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, I actually have a thing on my wall, and it says stressed spelled backwards is desserts. And it's really kind of funny because we medicate our stress and the pain of our past with food. Okay, some people smoke, some people take drugs, some people take psychotropic drugs. Okay, you know, they feel better about it because they're prescribed. You know, oh, I don't take heroin. Instead, I take this wonderful lithium that my doctor prescribed. And I know I have to be careful saying this because I know a lot of people get really upset with me when I talk about psychotropic drugs. But, you know, you do have to be careful with psychotropic drugs because they can be addictive as well. And I mean,
we can
again,
talk about that on this show.
A lot of people,
don't feel restrained about about any opinions you have on those things.
Yeah, all over the place with some people.
Yep.
But I do have to say, the thing about it is, doctors, medical doctors, treat symptoms. Okay, they treat symptoms. They treat one thing at a time. Right? They don't treat underlying issues. Well, it's the same thing with human beings. We use food sometimes to medicate our problems. Well, you would think that if we were going to medicate our problems, we would use the things that would actually make us feel better. Water will make you feel better. But no, I'd rather have a vodka martini. You know what I mean? So we medicate our problems with things that do just the opposite to help us. Oh, well, I don't feel good. Let me eat a Snicker bar. We even advertise that. You know, ooh, I don't feel good. Let me eat a Snicker bar. Whoa, I feel good. 1 hour later, I feel horrible. So it's like we treat things with exactly the opposite of what is going to help us. And why do we do that? Because we have internal hurts, okay? Not just physical pains, but we have a lot of people. I mean, like if you're in a room full of people and you say, everybody raise your hand who has something that has hurt you emotionally in the past. I mean, some people have major traumas, and look at these poor soldiers who served our countries and the things that they have gone through. That stuff affects you. I mean, it gets inside your brain, and what's inside of your brain affects your body. You know, and the thing about it is, if you don't deal with those emotional pains, if you don't deal with them, if you don't bring them out into the surface and deal with them, you know, you're going to have a whole host of physical problems. And then when you treat them with things that are going to make them worse, alcohol, drugs, foods that kill you, you're going to make the situation way worse. That stress will kill you. You have to medicate with something that makes you better long term. You know, stop committing slow suicide.
Are there, this is interesting, and in fact, Alita and Paulette, I'm going to let you guys talk as much as you want. So if you don't hear from me, just because, you know, I've said enough for today anyway. But I want to ask you sort of a general question. This is why I love having you on. Medicating with food, are there studies, charts that, avocados release stress and salmon makes your hair grow and, beets will lower your blood pressure? I hear things. These are just the first things that are coming to mind. Are there actual medical charts, documents, or foods that are known for having really curative powers?
Heck yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's go through some of them. Garlic for infection and, you know, viruses. Have I hit the few already or what? I mean, describing my shopping cart is what I'm doing. That's what I walk out with. You know, blueberries, strawberries.
Yeah, that's so funny. So, yes, absolutely, brain food, foods that affect your mood, like, positively right away. Well, give me a second to think here. I'm going to let Lita think for a second.
Maybe you can do it next week. It'll be a great, medicinal foods. That'd be a great great topic for showing you, kind of list them all. We can go through them because I have, files full of things like that. You know, like I say, when you talk about the shopping cart, it's so funny. I'll pass people with, breads and potato chips and cakes and processed crap and soda pop. And, I've got avocados and bananas and, eggs and cheese and strawberries and it's just funny. Yeah, Lita.
That when I was selling this specific product, and I'm not trying to, advertise it or anything, it was made specifically from fruits and vegetables picked at the right stage. And I was actually searching for something because my youngest son was always sick. He was always sick, and I didn't know what to do. And so my chiropractor suggested, you know, taking certain foods out, like milk and, of course, the sugary, like, red dye drinks.
Why
so
milk?
I eliminated.
Doesn't milk build strong bodies and healthy bones?
He was always chronically with sinus and the earaches and
because of milk?
Upper respiratory. No, because he was at that age, you know, when kids are young, their immune systems are building up, but it was like every week, every 2 weeks, I was taking him back to the doctor. They'd throw him back on antibiotics. Nothing helped. So he just said to try eliminating foods and try it first like that. Huh. And then I ran into a nurse at a health fair, and she introduced me to, like, Juice Plus products, and I ended up selling them because I was so bought out from it. I mean, it was so it helped tremendously. I had my son on the children's study, and I participated in that experiment, and they would send me, like, questionnaires, and I would fill them out. But he recovered tremendously. He's completely off all allergy medications, hasn't been on antibiotics in who knows how long. But I mean, he's
well.
Doing
antibiotics
great
are for bacteria. You know, it's like,
well,
antibiotics are not the cure
like
all.
Strap. He would get like strap throat a lot.
Well, that makes sense then. Yeah.
Yeah, and so just the fruit and vegetable capsule, just adding that those pure vegetables and capsules. I mean, it totally changed our lives. I mean, I was so tired from going back and forth to the doctors. And losing work, losing sleep, and but I participated in this study for I don't know how many years. He's fine now.
But why wouldn't the doctors know that? Why are they not taught nutrition? Do they just avoid it? Do doctors have to do drugs? I mean,
that's the last thing. They just give you a pill. It's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't get to the root problem.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And by the way, so I just kind of just did a quick little thing just to help bring, you know, refresh my memory of what I was thinking.
Feel free.
Just to give you just a few things to just kind of throw out there. I'm going to tell you some of my favorite. These, like, you know, that song, These Are a Few of My Favorite Things. So
oh, she sings too.
Fatty,
can we do jingles for me?
Fatty.
Can I get you to sing jingles?
Yeah,
I'm serious. I want you to sing jingles for Action Radio.
I bet she sings when
I'll work on it.
Okay, so fatty fish like salmon, okay, mm-hmm. and albacore tuna, as we all know, they actually have omega-3s, which we all know, and they say that they contribute to the fluidity of your brain cell membrane and appear to play key roles in brain development and cell signaling. Graham, that's something we talked about last week, but there's actually some studies out there, some clinical trials, saying that consuming omega-3s will lower your depression scores. So that's really interesting. Mm. You know, and another one, and I'm always so glad to hear things that I love, like dark chocolate. They say that dark chocolate, okay, I know, I love it too. So dark chocolate is actually one that they say that they have flavonoids, okay, which increases blood flow to your brain, reduces inflammation, and boosts brain health, all of which support mood regulation. Again, we're talking about how to feel good. So instead of going for
and
that.
And this is dark chocolate, folks. This isn't your milk bars. This is like, what's a good range? 86? I mean, I'm a Ghirardelli fan. In San Francisco, I used to live a mile from the Ghirardelli factory, the real one, not the one at Fisherman's Wharf, but the real one. And they would, you could tell when they were roasting the cocoa beans and just walk out your door and just take a deep breath and go, they're roasting the cocoa beans. You know, you just like make a beeline for Ghirardelli. But I went from 72 to 86 to now 92%. So I have 92% cocoa in my chocolate.
Yeah, 1 to 2 small squares of 70% more of cocoa solids. And that would be a great show too.
Yeah, 2 squares are nice too. That's my daily, you know, max.
Yes.
Unless I'm like really playing guitar and feeling feisty. But yeah, I try to keep it to 2 squares of Ghirardelli. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So 92, so that's anything wonderful. Over 72
okay,
they're saying is good? Okay.
Yes,
just curious.
Another one is fermented. I'm sorry, what?
So anything over 72% cocoa is halfway decent?
Yes, absolutely. The other thing is fermented food. You know I'm so crazy about fermented foods. I have a whole series on fermented foods on my YouTube channel, and I talk about the gut.
Name some.
And foods and I love to. Well, for instance, one of my favorites that I do is a pineapple turmeric
sauerkraut, which is absolutely fantastic.
Sauerkraut, but yeah. I wonder if it gets us the sauerkraut. Yes, this is going to be good, yeah.
Yes, Dion, this is a perfect time.
Other Borscht is good. Borscht. Do we make Borscht this for winter food?
Yeah. Ooh, yes, I love it. Yes, exactly. But kimchi, yogurt.
Kimchi?
And you want to only stick to, like, organic yogurt because there's a lot of crap out there with a bunch of sugar in it. Kombucha, kefir, any of that kind of stuff. I also make these pickles that are like to die for, okay? And basically all you have to do to make fermented food is take a vegetable, chop it up, put filtered water in it with salt, let it sit out at room temperature for 3 days. You have fermented food, okay? And that is a wonderful probiotic. And here's what we find out, okay? So in probiotics, serotonin is actually a neurotransmitter that affects many facets of human behavior, such as mood, stress response, appetite, and sexual drive. Up to 90% of your body's serotonin is produced by your gut. Again, here we go back to the gut. I'm always talking about the gut, why it's so important.
So yogurt improves your love life?
Yes.
Just checking.
If you want good, well,
you brought it up.
Sex, sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut for sex? Yeah, so come down to the market, we pick up the sex sauerkraut. It's a great cure for everything. We got what ails you.
Yes, our naughty report is full blown.
Naughty report today. Well, yes, Greg's bad accents. But if you want to try kimchi, that might be also appropriate for the occasion.
Listen, I have a hard time turning anybody on about sauerkraut. Maybe pickles, but not. I have a
so
hard
now
time
you mentioned sexual and turning on in the same conversation here. Do you see where we're going here? Do you see what you're doing to our show? Okay, fine. So no problem. I understand. Don't mind me.
All right, let's talk about berries. That's another one.
Ooh,
eating fruits and vegetables, just like Lita was talking about, more fruits and vegetables is linked to lower rates of depression. So it's really interesting. Any diet that's rich in antioxidants may help manage inflammation associated with depression or other, you know, mood
antioxidants
disorders. And of course, berries pack. Yeah.
What's antioxidant? Name some.
Oh gosh, my favorite: blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, and you know, you can actually on a ketogenic diet, you can eat raspberries.
Ketogenic? Is that a keto diet? I just want to clarify.
Yes, the keto diet. Okay. But if you have to eat a clean ketogenic diet. Some people, what a ketogenic diet is, you know, is not exactly. I've talked to more people that say I've tried keto and it didn't work for me. But really, if you do a clean ketogenic diet, it's totally different.
What's the difference?
You know, you really have to make sure that you're getting at least 70 to 75% of your calories from fat. And not just fat, but good sources of fat. For instance, coconut oil, avocados, fatty fish like salmon. You have to make sure that you are eating the right things at the right time. And a lot of people, you know, they just think, oh, it's just low carbs, so you just go out and, you know, eat salami all day. And that's just simply not.
Yeah.
By
well,
the way,
there's a difference between fat and sugar. We should talk about that. I'll get your point. You know, I'm just saying, if we put this on our list of things to do, fat, people think of fat as bad and sugar is okay. But really, sugar is bad because it causes inflammation. But fat is actually an essential nutrient. I mean, the carnivore folks talk about that. You know, and there's good fat and I guess bad fat. There's trans fat, you know, hydrogenated vegetable oils and things like that. But the good fat, the avocado, the olive oils, the meat protein.
I can't even believe that we're still having a fat conversation. I can't even believe that people are still saying that fat is bad. I mean, like, I have a friend and I love her to death. I absolutely love her to death. She has a vegan diet. And I actually think a vegan diet can be very healthy. And I, you know, if you eat a vegan diet because of moral reasons, like you don't like, you know, killing animals or whatever, I have a lot of respect for you. And
plants,
and so that's that, you know, vegan diet can actually be a healthy diet. You can still get a lot of really good healthy fats. But where we completely part is when she says things like, oh, try to eat low fat. I'm like, okay, now you lost me because, you know, fat does not make you fat. And our bias, our
why do we call it fat then?
Body.
That's a great point. Why do we call it fat if fat doesn't make you fat?
That's exactly right. That's a good question, because fat is actually not only an essential ingredient, really our brain, our body, everything works better when we use fat, okay, when we run off of fat. See, there's lots of places you can go in your body to get energy. You can get you can get it from carbohydrates, or you can, you know, get
sugar.
It from fat. That's really the two main places. You know, but your body performs best when you're in a ketogenic state, okay?
What's that?
And so that's...
What's a ketogenic state?
That's when your body runs off of ketones. And really, and a lot of people get that, you know, different, you know, a lot of people, and I'm sure your nurse can tell you that's very different than, you know, when, what's it called when you're, you know, I forget what it's called, the thing when you have the diabetic person has that, you know, ketosis. How do you say that word? I don't know why.
I think I'm
forgetting
it, but yeah, diabetics have comas and all kinds of nasty things.
Ketosis or whatever, but that's not a good thing.
Let's ask Lita.
But that's their,
she's a nurse.
That's, yeah.
Lita, do you know what we're talking about?
Sure.
The ketosis.
What's it called?
Oh, I'm not sure what you're trying to say. What word
oh,
is it?
Oh, diabetic. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's called, here, give me a second. I'm going to tell you guys in just a bit, but it's called like ketosis. A lot of people think that that's something that you can get on a ketogenic diet, but that's simply not the case.
Okay.
It's a rare, let me tell you here for a second. It's a, you know, pretty rare thing that, you know, diabetic people get. But again, let me just go back to really what we're talking about, which is how your body, you know, does best when it's running off of ketones or ketogenic. So that is actually, you know, wonderful. And that is really why they're putting people on a ketogenic diet, you know, who are diabetic, you know, low carb. That's what it is, ketoacidosis. And a lot of people talk about that, avoiding ketoacidosis. And both are states in which the individual has elevated ketones, okay, between ketoacidosis is actually life-threatening, okay, and it occurs most of the people who have type 1 diabetes, not the type 2, very rare for type 2, but when diabetes is uncontrolled, the body doesn't make enough insulin to transfer glucose from the bloodstream to the cells, the body thinks it's starving, and as it panics and begins producing ketones at an alarming rate in an effort to provide fuel, even while the bloodstream is full of glucose. But ketones rise to a toxic level, and the individual might become extremely ill and possibly fall into a coma.
So how does one...
Nutritional...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, well, I was just going to say nutritional ketosis, on the other hand, it occurs in the presence of both insulin and normal blood sugar. The body doesn't panic, and it produces ketones at a much more moderate and healthy rate. And the insulin keeps ketone production under control. And most people, even those with type 2, make enough insulin to keep ketones at healthy levels. Type 1 diabetics who choose to follow a ketogenic diet sometimes find that their need to take insulin is much reduced. So.
Yeah, this is going to be fascinating. I got Pianca in the line, too. I'm going to make his line live. But my question is, how does one get fat? I mean, I've actually figured out how to not get fat with my intermittent fasting, which is working incredibly well. But is it just as much a matter of what you eat and how much you eat, right? I mean, why people get fat and why we're all getting fat these days? We got a huge problem with obesity in this country. So where are we going wrong?
Totally over it. I mean, the word excess is the understatement of the century. I mean, like, when you think about it, and you know what really blows my mind? And I don't even know if we've thought about this as Americans, but have you ever thought that most people I know, and I'm going to say most because I know that there are some people, this is simply not the case, but most people I know, this is how they decide what they want or what they're going to eat. What do I want to eat? What do I feel like? What do I feel? What am I in the mood for? And then literally anything on the planet is available to most Americans. I mean, it's so absolutely absurd. You know, I think today, you know, as a matter of fact, guess what I'm making on my show tonight? Quail.
Oh, I have no idea. Oh, quail?
You know, yes.
Oh,
and
my.
You know what I always say? Yes.
Martini, shaken, not stirred.
I know, isn't it? But anyways, I always say to myself, Yes. Okay. So quail is what I'm going to make. But I always say, you know, why am I going to make quail? Because I can. I mean, you know, I'm in the mood for it or, you know, whatever.
Okay.
But I have a theme, which this month is alternative mains and then staple sides. Okay, but of course I'm going to make all of my sides, your classic green bean casserole and deviled eggs are what I'm making tonight. They're all going to be keto-friendly because, you know, mm-hmm. that's the diet that I push. But I'm also going to do quail because I can. You know, again, it's available to me. It's something I always want to think of something zany. We chefs are always trying to come up with something that's a little different, a little edgy or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the thing, we can. I mean, the way that we lived at one time was, you know, what did I find in the woods and shoot, you know, or with my bow and arrow or my bare hands or whatever. But nowadays, everything is available. And again, that we were talking about that, earlier about how there are so many things that fruits and vegetables that we normally could have never gotten because they were seasonal. But now you can get anything on the planet. I mean, because they produce it, even like they, you know, farm fish now. You know, so you can pretty much get any kind of fish, any kind of meat.
I hate farm
any kind
fish.
Of fish.
You know, farm fish have all the problems of feedlots. You know, you look at salmon. Let's take salmon, one of my favorites, all right? And so you look at salmon that's wild-caught. I won't eat farm fish, salmon. You know, they take carrot pellets because they make the fish look orange. They have extra fat. Their fat stripes are much wider than a wild fish. You can, if you look it up online, tell the difference between farm fish, you know, raised in a pond as opposed to wild fish, you know, swimming free and leaping up the cliffs and avoiding the grizzly bears. I mean, that's good fish, right? They're the tough ones, you know. So, or the ones that actually I think they catch out in the ocean. But the point is that wild fish living on krill is an entirely different product than farm fish fed pellets. Now, I'm not going to touch farm fish.
Yeah,
oh, someone's driving.
I have
My kids just moved to California.
Uh huh.
And my son's stationed in Fort Irwin, and my daughter was. I talked to her last night, and she was going on explaining how the food tastes different there, that she also stated that the groceries, like their produce, it doesn't last long. Like, she was complaining. She was like, I just bought the cilantro, and it's already dead in 2 days. She was like, I guess they don't treat the food like they do in other states. I don't know, spray it or, I mean.
I'm not sure.
Is it better
or spray water?
What was that, Pianki?
Not.
You know, they have these water shortages out there in California. They probably don't spray the produce.
Well, or they could
That'd be interesting.
Not spray extra to have it live longer as far as the produce looking better. And because I know that. Stores do that, companies do that. They spray their produce to increase the longevity and make it look nicer, longer on the shelves.
Yeah, I was wondering why they did that because, you know, I figure the plants have already been cut. You know, they're harvested, not growing anymore. They are ripening, but the idea of spraying water on them, I mean, no one recommends you go spritz your fruits and vegetables at home. So I'm just curious as to why, you know, why they do it. I always thought it was just a gimmick, but it does actually preserve them longer.
It makes them fresher. It makes them come back too.
So why don't I get my little spritzer? Of course you can. Yeah, go ahead.
Have you tried any of the, talking about meat? Have you ever tried any of that Wagyu Japanese beef, Kobe steaks?
Well, that's the good stuff.
Ooh, you're fancy.
Hey, we have this is a high class show. I want you to know. we can eat Kobe beef. Now, Kobe beef, for those that don't know, this is big out in San Francisco. They had a Japanese restaurant there. Kobe beef is some of the best beef in the world. It's you know, in the grades of beef, you've got prime, choice, and I've forgotten what the select. You know, they don't tell you, and they do that purposely so you don't know which is the good stuff. Prime is the good stuff. Choice is what most people get, and select you don't want to touch. Kobe beef is all prime. Most of our prime beef gets exported because they figure choice is good enough for Americans and because Americans are buying it. You know, choice is good, but it's not as good as prime. But prime's really expensive. But if you're a Japanese artisan chef, you know, creating, you know, thin slices of gourmet stuff, Kobe beef is going to be prime. Paulette, have I got that about right?
Sounds right.
Well,
okay, good.
Hey, Greg.
At the auction,
Wait. Let's get Bianca, then Josie. Bianca, go ahead. Finish your comment.
At an auction, a American steer like a Black Angus would go for $3,000, but a Colby mm-hmm. steer would go for about $35,000 or $40,000. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say one other thing. The lady was talking about gut health. I used to make a Rejuvenac using seeds. I don't remember which ones it was. I put them in a jar, put water in it, and put them in the dark for about 3 days. Then come back and filter the liquid through a cheesecloth and put that in the refrigerator and drink it from time to time. And it worked miracles for your gut.
Let's get Paulette, then I'll get to Josie. Paulette?
I just... he was breaking up just so I'm not sure I completely caught everything that he said, but what's the question?
Oh, seeds, some seed that you keep overnight in a jar. Piaki, why don't you try it again? We're having a little trouble today with internet.
You
sounds
know,
like.
It's called a Rejuvenac. A Rejuvenac you make with the wheat seeds, I believe they were. I used to put them in a jar, put the water in it, and put them in a dark room for about 3 days. Then it would ferment. I poured the liquid off, filtered through a cheesecloth, and put it in the refrigerator and drink it from time to time. It will work a miracle on your stomach.
Oh, heck yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, I agree. 100%, yeah. Yeah.
That's called Rejuvenac, so you have to make it. Do you make it or do you buy it or do you have to do it the old-fashioned way or what?
You can buy it. And you don't have to do it yourself, but, you know, doing it yourself is probably best, just like everything
probably.
Else.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, I know we were talking about excess and, you know, eating too much and all that kind of stuff. But, I think one of the reasons why we do overindulge is that we can overindulge, but just because you can doesn't mean you should. And so I think that in this land of being able to have whatever the heck we want at our fingertips, you know, that we just have to make decisions, you know, just because I can doesn't mean I should. So.
Yeah. It's easy to not overeat when you can't because there isn't the food available. That's like, you know, a pioneer stock.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay. Well, let's get to Josie because she may have to dash up. I believe I'll give you more time. We got about 13 minutes left, it looks like. Josie, you had a point. Make sure I get you in here.
I believe a lot of beef is coming from China right now, 50%, I heard. And so I went to the fair, and they had an auction, and I bought two big steer cows, big ones. Ooh. So, yeah. I'm going to have plenty of
cows?
Beef
the
first
steers?
Weekend.
Good.
December.
I'm coming to Josie's house.
Yeah. I'm going to try to sell one, though. I'm going to try to sell one because that's a lot of money and, it's just one of those things. That was quite a very expensive, very expensive.
Where does one buy a steer?
At the auction, at the fair. They do it every year. And the ones we bought were Angus, well-fed. So
did it cost $3,000 or, I mean, you have to tell me exactly how much is it? More or less?
I spent over $20,000. Yes.
On one steer?
On both.
Now, here's the thing, too.
By the time.
Okay.
And that includes the cutting because each one of them is going to be anywhere from $800 or $900 to cut them up. And they packages and everything for you.
Wow. So, you'll have beef for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
is it grass-fed?
One of my friends is going to buy a quarter, so we'll see if other people would like to buy. So I would like to sell one and just keep one in the freezer. So
it's like that old joke about capitalism. You know, you have two cows. You sell one to your neighbor and buy a bull. You know, that's capitalism.
Well,
socialism is where that you have to give your cow to your neighbor. Or, you know, anyway, it's an old joke. Was that Paul?
We might go through bad times, and that's what we're doing it
pretty soon
coming up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, food storage is a whole new topic. We need to cover that, too. Paulette, did
and
you
I've been listening.
Okay.
I've been listening to you guys, and especially Paulette with her things, but her and I disagree about the fruit. I never get sick, but I eat a whole tray of fruit every week. I make my smoothies. I never go to the doctor. My grandmother died when she was 98 years old. She never went to the hospital. On the last week when she died, they took her to the hospital. When she was dying, excuse me. But I put salt on my oranges, my pineapple, all kinds of fruit. I eat a lot of salt and
why salt
plenty
on
of
fruit?
Sugar on my fruit. I love it. It's just like on mangoes, I have to have salt on my mango and on my pineapple.
Really?
And you know, when I was pregnant, the doctor said that's why I didn't have infection, like yeast infection. A lot of women when they're pregnant have some sort of infection. And the doctor says because I was eating pineapple with a little bit of salt in it. And I was eating a pineapple almost one a day when I was pregnant. And my
pineapple
is very healthy.
Huh.
I was craving for pineapple, I guess, but pineapple is very sour, and I eat fresh ginger. Sometimes I start chewing it like that in the morning with a little bit of honey, and I never get sick, never. Very unusual for me to get sick. So this
yeah,
is
me too.
When you're hungry,
a while.
When
yeah.
you're hungry, when you come from other countries, we were trying to find anything we could eat, and we used to eat leaves with a bunch of salt in our hands because we didn't have nothing to eat. So here it's a little bit different, all the diets and all the stuff. So, you know, it's good for some people, but I don't know. It's just my mentality is a little bit
active
different.
Too.
I don't stop.
You're very active too. Yeah, yeah. She dances her Zumba. She's very active.
Yeah,
sure.
I don't stop.
I mean, so just, yeah. So just to clarify, I mean, like, I don't think fruit is bad at all. I think fruit is excellent for you, and I definitely
yeah.
think it's one of the most high fiber foods that you can eat. So I'm all for eating fruit. My only thing is, if you're trying to lose weight and lower your blood sugar, then the last thing you want to do is eat high carb fruit. So that's where I would actually kind of disagree. And definitely you don't want to eat fruit constantly throughout the day. You're
but it's,
spiking
but
your,
it's natural sugar. Remember that. Natural sugar, fruit. So
yeah, but any kind of sugar, any type of kind of sugar, you spike your insulin. So, you know, if you spike your insulin, you're going to have other problems. Yeah, you know, you may not have this, you may not have that. But again, if you're trying to lose weight, I mean, ideally, that's what you don't want to do. And you'll have other problems. That doesn't mean that you'll... you know, get coronavirus. That doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, have this or that, but you may have other types of inflammation in the body. So you have to be careful with your consumption of how much fruit you eat and how often you eat it. If you eat
a
piece of fruit every hour on the hour, that's eventually going to cause you problems.
No, I eat a lot of fruit a week, and I put it on my, like right now I put pineapple, strawberries on my protein shake. And I drink that every morning. And I'm only eating lunch and maybe a couple snacks, like an apple, like a granola bar during the day. And I'm not eating dinner right now. So I'm losing. I just lost 17 pounds. But
well,
it's also portion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, going back to it, anytime you reduce your calories, you're going to lose weight. I mean, that's pretty much a set thing. It's a thyroid problem. It doesn't matter what you what you do, you got to deal with your thyroid problem. But, you know, so anytime you reduce your calories, that's right, you're going to lose weight. I mean, you know, if all I eat is, you know, figs every day, you know, then obviously I'm going to lose weight because I'm reducing my calories.
So really
the,
it's that simple, right?
That,
you know, good food, bad food.
Yeah, it's really
if you
that
lower
simple.
The calories, if you burn, you burn more than you take in, I mean, it's really that simple?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Well, it really is that simple. Unfortunately, where it's not that simple is, number one, if you've already developed some kind of autoimmune problem, okay, or if you have other issues, you know, such as the Hashimoto's, you know, again, there are some foods that will affect you. You can't have nightshades, you know, like, for instance, tomatoes. You can't have tomatoes. Tomatoes are an inflammatory. You know, now,
yeah,
some things
tomatoes are good, but they're
–
and they never were in Italian cooking traditionally. They're kind of – you know, they used to think of it as peasant food. But tomatoes are kind of new to Italian. It's like American Italian. But how – here's a question for you. We've got about 6 minutes left. How do you know if you have inflammation of your organs and arteries and things like that? Is there a test for that? Is there a way to determine it? How would people know?
Well, I mean, usually it's developed in a problem, and inflammatories usually develop in a problem. For instance, I all of a sudden have these calcifications on my bones, so I've got these, you know, round things on my fingers. Well, we call that rheumatoid arthritis, and it's very painful. So you go to the doctor, and you're like, I'm in a lot of pain, and I have these problems. That's how you initially identify an inflammation. Now, when it comes to things like what's wrong with me, Hashimoto's, when I discovered that 10 years ago, there wasn't a doctor on the planet that had any clue. You know, they were sending me to allergists because I was having severe hives. You know, and so, and the thing about it is the inflammation that occurred in my body wasn't necessarily from the foods that I was eating at the time in which I occurred. It's not like, you know, what would be ideal is if we eat some food and all of a sudden we have the effect. Of course, you can put that together. You can put that puzzle together very good. Okay, but me, when I was raised, the way that I was raised as a child, you know, I consumed tons of sugar and tons of bad things. I mean, my diet consisted of about five food groups. Pizza with cheese.
Do we get away with them when we're younger, or does that, hinder
cheese,
our growth later on?
Plain white bread with...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had a very, very limited diet when I was a child. Well, right. When I got into my 20s, I started eating a lot healthier. And then when I got in my 30s, I started eating a little bit healthier. And then when I got into my 40s, all of a sudden I realized, oops, wow, I got a lot of problems, you know, because I started having severe hives. Well, those hives were a combination of a lot of things. You know, I was no longer eating a lot of the bad things. In fact, I went on a vegan diet and I lost a ton of weight, okay? But I was still having these problems. Okay, so what's the deal? What's the deal? What was happening? Well, all of a sudden, I had to put together those puzzle pieces because, you know, the doctors are like, go to an allergist, figure out, is it the sheets on your bed? Is it your new, you know, cleaner that you're using? Are you allergic to a particular type of food? They even thought it was cinnamon at one time. But, you know, and then they give me all these allergy tests, and they're like, oops, that didn't work, that didn't work, that didn't work. And so, you know, again, the inflammation in your body can occur in many different forms. All of a sudden, you might have diarrhea every day. All of a sudden, you may have the severe back pain. I know Josie's has a lot of problem with her knees, you know, because you told me before that you have problems with your knees. That's why you can't do CrossFit. You know, so again, inflammation will occur in our bodies in many ways that you may not put together, hey, that inflammation came from something that I did 20 years ago. You know, you can't always put it together. By the way, just a little more food for thought here, okay? I watched a film a couple of nights ago. We wanted to watch a scary movie, but we didn't want to watch anything too scary. I don't want anything with blood or gore. So I always like M. Shalom Knight. Huge fan. And so we watched one of his latest movies called Old. I don't know if you've actually seen that or not or heard about the concept. It's actually a really cool concept. So basically it's this family. They go to some remote island they find on the internet. You know where this is going. So anyway, they go stay at this resort. And when they get to the resort, they're like, oh, we've made you a special cocktail based on your special needs. Well, in this particular family's case's needs, the wife actually has a I don't know if it's lupus or cancer or something. She's got some kind of disease, and she hasn't told the kids yet. And that's part of why they're going to this island to, like, you know, get together or whatever. Well, anyway, so the resort takes them to this remote beach, okay? And, in fact, there's several other people that go on these, quote, excursions to this special beach. Well, it turns out that on this beach, every hour they grow or they age, like, 5 years. Okay, so every hour you age 5 years. So the way you start to figure this out is, first of all, somebody dies because of old age, okay? And then before you know it, all of a sudden their kids that are 6 and 8 are now teenagers, and 14-year-old, and their bathing suits don't fit anymore. And so, like, they age very quickly. Well, as it turns out, they're actually a science experiment. So these scientists are actually observing the people on this island. They put them on the island in particular so they could watch them because they want to see if they can find – treatments for people who have lupus or cancer or whatever, but they don't have 30 years to find out if it works. So they get to watch these people who will basically die within 24 hours, and they're going to figure out how long did it take them? How did the treatment actually work for at least 2 hours, which would be 10 years?
So I'm a little confused here. We only have a minute left. Is this a real thing, or is this an adventure story?
This is not a documentary. This is a sci-fi.
Yeah,
it's not
like
a
Star Trek episode
stuff.
I saw. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like it's M. Shalom Knight. And it, like I said, it's a film. It's totally sci-fi. But again, but my point of bringing the film up, because it makes you think. Okay, that's what I love about his films. They make you think. And here's what it makes you think about. what I am doing today and putting in my body, I can't judge, you know, sometimes I can judge how I feel in an hour or 5 hours or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes it affects that quickly. However, what you're doing with your body is going to affect you in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years in ways that you don't realize. The worst effects on my body happened in my teens, not now, okay?
Yeah, so that's what I was asking the question. We can talk about next week. Because we all were raised on like bologna sandwiches and other things we never should have eaten. But our parents, you know, they sort of missed out on that. And now we eat healthy now in later life. But I'm hoping we can recover from our childhoods completely. Thank you, Paulette. Thank you, Josie. Thank you, Jean and Pianki and Lita. Everybody else that called in today. This is going to be fascinating, and we'll definitely do this next week. But I'm on Tanya Hathaway's show tonight. Everybody's going to be back next week. And Paulette, why don't you give your real quick your websites and YouTubes, and people can watch your show tonight or tomorrow.
Absolutely. It would be my pleasure. So tonight you can watch my live stream on Twitch, www.twitch.com/naughty2nice. Okay, so www.twitch.com/naughty2nice. You can also go to my website to find all of my other links to my YouTube and just kind of the concept and what I do, www.naughty2nice.com. And I appreciate you for having me on the show, and so glad to talk about subjects I care about.
Yeah, well, especially all the subjects we get to cover. So thank you. And we'll do it again next week for that. And I'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, 5 Mountain, and 4 Pacific. Greg Penglis for Action Radio at blogtalkradio.com/citizenaction.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too, ladies.